It's MAGA month, ladies and gentlemen. It is officially MAGA month. I'm disappointed in all of those who have not changed their profile pictures to American flags. I did it first thing in the morning, and I had to yell at Jack Posobiec.
You know,
what
so
do you
I'm
have to say to you? Say for
yeah, so I'm sitting there. I'm doing my podcast, right? I'm up at like crack of six in the morning. Well, actually, I'm up at like five because the 1 year old, you know, had something going on, so we had to be up for him. I'm doing my podcast, then I'm hosting War Room Pandemic for Bannon because he was out today, and I get done that, and suddenly I find out that I hate America.
Jack tweeted something. And then I noticed your profile picture didn't have an American flag in it. And it was like 10 a.m. or something. So I was just like, oh, harumph.
Conform! Conform! Yeah.
Get that American flag in there. So I tweeted, Jack hates America.
Which I've always had it on my profile, like, name. Right? Yeah. It's always been there. So come on.
All right, so
it's there now.
It's MAGA month. It's going to be a month of grilling. Grill as often as you can. During MAGA month, we make America great again. That means it's all about building community. It's about cleaning up our neighborhoods, picking up trash. It's about shaking hands and hugging your neighbor. It's about love. It's about freedom. It's about saying no to racism. Mm. And that means if you don't like MAGA month, you're a racist.
Obviously.
That's the only way to explain it. So anyone who criticizes MAGA month, well, they're racist. It's the only way to explain it because the core of making America great again is to embrace the love. So that's what it's all about. But we got news. We'll talk about news. It is the Friday before the 4th of July weekend. So I imagine many people are probably just not watching podcasts live on Friday night as they, you know, usually don't. But we're chilling. We're going to have a good time. We got a lot to talk about. More than one in four Americans say it may soon be necessary to take up arms against the U.S. government. So that's kind of freaky. We'll talk about that. CNN's ratings have imploded. At the same time, Daily Wire's ratings are through the roof and they're signing more and more people. I really love saying that over and over again, that CNN Plus collapsed and Daily Wire is exploding, because that's good. It's like the right thing is happening. It is, it's a good day. How about that? So we'll talk about that. We also got Jordan Peterson's nuclear response to Twitter, saying he'd rather die than take down his tweet. And, he also made an interesting point. I talked about this earlier. He was talking about the fat chick on Sports Illustrated, and you know, because he was like, this is not beautiful. And then he made a point about confused kids. And then I realized something. I'm like, if orientation is not learned, but it's ingrained, and then you have a little kid, and you show the little kid a trans woman, and you show the little kid a fat woman, and the kid says, I'm not attracted to either of these women, and then they go, oh, you must be gay. Like, these are the kind of things that are confusing to kids, because you know, if they have an attraction towards a specific thing, they're told they're transphobic or they're fatphobic and all that stuff, it's probably confusing them. So we'll talk about all that stuff, my friends, before we get started. Head over to timcast.com, become a member to help support our work. As a member, you get access to our exclusive segments from this show, Monday through Thursday at 11 p.m. Not so family friendly. It's a Timcast IRL after hours. And you're supporting our expansion. We've got a couple documentaries in the preliminary stages. We're, of course, working on a bunch of music. We are, of course, expanding Cast Castle. We are hiring more personalities. We are doing more. And hopefully, one day soon, we will be where the Daily Wire is. But congrats to those guys. They are certainly setting a standard that we all should be striving for in growing and dominating culture and winning. So with your support, we will continue to do that. So don't forget to smash the like button, subscribe to this channel. And, of course, you already noticed, Jack Posobiec's here.
I am here. I'm here supporting MAGA Month, where not only do I have the American flag in my profile superimposed on my face now, I've got my Turning Point USA branded t-shirt here with me. And somebody mentioned to me that I actually haven't been here since we got back. So we were in Davos, you know, where they don't celebrate MAGA Month, getting detained at the World Economic Forum. And we were working on a whole documentary about that, which will be coming out soon.
Oh, nice.
Right on. We also got Shane Cashman.
What's up? I'm here, and Ian's going to tattoo an American flag on my face right now.
Live on air.
But no, I'm really excited because we're releasing the first episode of Tales from the Inverted World tonight. I have spent the last 6 months in Georgia like a giant slimy eyeball observing witches and ghosts and skeletons just time traveling. And tonight's the first night, and we'll have a book next month. So awesome. I'm looking forward to it. That'll be live right after the show.
Well, you know how I feel about cults.
I will not be bowing to your MAGA cult. I won't put it. I will not.
You're getting
the
tattooed next.
I'm not putting the flag on my profile. I feel like it's dangling wrong
meat America
in front of a hungry
Ian,
lion.
Ian's racist.
Did you guys hear?
Wow. So we just talked about this
bigoted
before
against
the show.
Christians, the racist, hood on and now hates
can
America.
Fly.
But here's the thing. I said if you hate MAGA month, you're racist, and then Ian admits it.
He just come out.
He just Johnny Grayed up on this.
I'll go out in front on this one. Did you guys hear? So they're turning CERN back on. We talked about this before the show
for MAGA month. I hear
for MAGA month, July 5th.
Well, see, I was over there, and I said, "Guys, come on, let's kick the tires around a little bit."
You drove over CERN or thereabout in the area.
Well, so we were driving right at one point when we were shooting the thing. We were driving between Davos and Geneva, so you know, yes, we would have easily, I believe, because it's so large, right? We would have driven over it at one point.
So I want to know if smashing atoms together is causing the fluctuation of the vibrational background. Maybe
look,
Higgs
look,
field.
Ian, I can't tell you everything that Tanya and I did while we were in.
Oh, okay.
While we were in Europe,
smashing.
You know, I just got to say, they turned on the Large Hadron Collider right before Trump won. But
true.
They didn't do it in 2020. They're doing it now.
Mm-hmm. He's
Donald Trump made a phone call, and he was like, I need to win. Turn it on.
He needs the energy.
Quantum fluctuations.
Yeah. And they're like charging it up.
No, because it's basically like his Thanos gauntlet. It's
the
like
best
the Infinity Gauntlet.
Fluctuations.
That's right.
The greatest warping of the Higgs field.
When Ian said that he's not celebrating MAGA month, the whole chat just turned to ones.
rest assured, I will be celebrating. I just won't do it the way you want me to do it.
There you go.
Get used to it.
Yeah.
One of us. One of us.
All right. I'm also here, also in the corner pushing buttons. I'm very excited for this evening. We're going to have a great night. It's going to be super low-key and chill. Thank you guys for tuning in. I don't expect many people to, but we're glad to have you.
Take a look at this story from TimCast.com.
Oh,
more than one in four Americans say it may soon be necessary to take up arms against the U.S. government. And actually, a plurality of strong Republicans said it. Yeah, that's kind of freaky. The poll was released on June 30th by the University of Chicago's Institute of Politics. According to their findings, 28% of voters, including 37% who have guns in their homes, agree it may be necessary at some point soon for citizens to take up arms against the government. The funny thing is, I bet that stat stays true for, like, strong Republicans forever, like, no matter what,
because
they say it all the time. So I don't know if this is actually, like, an increase in the number. For all I know, it's gone down, right?
It felt that way watching the riots, that everyone was trying to take down the government. I mean, like, the mayor was getting baptized in fire out there out west. I forget where that was. Like, they were
Which
all
one?
In Portland or something when he was standing outside the fire, like, doing the
prayers.
Yeah, it was like, Portland, yeah.
Right? Like...
Yeah,
it seemed
and
like
then
everybody
he, like,
wanted it. Then.
Desperately tried to get back in the building, like, let me in.
Right, they were throwing. Yeah, they got him. They got him a week after.
I just thought it was funny to pull this story up as like it's MAGA month. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this is what MAGA month is all about. All right, we got people who are losing confidence in the government. They are scared. We need to make America great again, and we need a month to do it. So this is that month. Every month from
now.
Well,
so does the story? And I know I sent this to you guys when I was on my way in, but does it break down in the poll? Right, left, right, party distinction, any of
it's
that kind of
strong
stuff?
GOP, GOP, independent, Democrat, and strong Democrat.
Okay, now where are the fault lines? Do you see
independence?
Do you see both sides right on the extremes? What would you see?
No, but like strong Democrats, 71% I think say you don't need to.
Okay,
but they control the institution, so
right.
They're like don't.
It's
don't
their
don't.
Government.
Independent voters, one third of independent
Very
voters say yes.
Serious, one third.
One third of independent voters, and that's more than
which is more than the total.
It's more than Republicans.
Huh.
Republicans are like 28 or 30 or something, and then strong GOP is the plurality, 45%. So among strong GOP, 45%, I believe it's 45, say you may have to, and like 42 say you don't have to. And that's the only bracket where the you may have to is larger. But conservatives believe it less than independent voters.
Well, Thomas Jefferson was pretty clear. You may have to take up arms against a corrupt government. Like, he said that blatantly. Just so you know, everyone, as part of being American, you may have to take up arms at some point if the government becomes tyrannical. He was very clear about that.
Well, and this is Jefferson, by the way, and this is the same Jefferson, by the way, who goes over and sees the beginnings of the French Revolution and is like, yeah, this is great. Let's continue to do this without, you know, kind of realizing which forces exactly were being unleashed. And this is why you have these huge differences between, you know, sure, both were armed uprisings against a central government, right, a monarchy. But the American Revolution's character was far different from the French Revolution character.
Yeah, they were a lot of them to begin with. It wasn't just like Robespierre and Danton. It was
they were
like,
starving too.
The Americans?
No, the French.
The French were starving. The yeah. monarch was there on their soil with them, so that was another problem they had to face. But it was, the Americans were very organized. They also had a lot of outside help, being the French, which then caused the French Revolution, that caused the French to go bankrupt, which was a big part of why they were starving.
It was when the women came out. And right. they were, you know, hungry.
Yeah. I think that the French Revolution was too culty. It was too much about Robespierre. It became about his personality and how great he was and how he was going to lead them
well, it was
to
like,
savior, salvation.
It was like a twofold revolution, right? You actually had the period where you had the left and the right in the, the parliament chamber or whatever.
And this is where we get the terms. Right. Yeah.
You actually had the radicals. So there's a revolution. And the radicals and then the moderates are like yelling at each other. And then the moderates get crushed. And then Robespierre's like, off with their heads! And then they offed with his head. And, you know, the whole thing was just kind of crazy.
First they blew his jaw off. That's the story. He was an orator and he was known for just talk. And then eventually they were like, I've had it. They blew his jaw off. They laid him on a table for like 3 days to die. I'm pretty sure that's how the story goes.
Didn't they cut his head off?
After that, they might have guillotined him, yeah. Or they might have just let him bleed out. Let me find out.
Yeah.
Robespierre turned on his buddy, the number two guy, Danton, who then said it would have been better to have been a poor farmer than to meddle in the politics of man.
And that's what people, you know, it's funny because we talk about how people don't want to stand up and it's like maybe they learned a lesson from the French Revolution. Duck and hide. The fires will rage and burn down your home and your life, but you may yet survive.
Yeah, you kind of want to, you want to build something that allows for the system to change, not so much be the leader and the speaker and the feel good about yourself because everyone loves you. You know, it's not what it's
yes.
about.
Yes. I mean, so here's the problem. The United States has a constitution that can be amended. Congress is dysfunctional. The left has been trying to use the Supreme Court as their way of passing laws because they can't actually get laws passed.
Not just trying, doing.
They're doing, right.
For a long time.
They blame minority rule, saying it's not fair that these, but they don't understand California used to be very sparsely populated, so change happens. The problem is right now, instead of being like, okay, we all agree to work by these rules, they're just saying like, screw it, burn it down, it's not fair.
You'll see more typically, like, I get what you're saying, right? And you see this in actually the Supreme Court ruling that just came out on the Remain in Mexico policy, right? Where Kavanaugh, caved on that. But it was sort of this idea that, well, that was a Trump-era policy, and even though we all disagree with it, we want to keep it in place for the integrity of the system because that was the, you know, the election. Biden's in now and, you know, does he have the ability as the current president to rescind an executive order and the rule that he does, right? So what I'm trying to say, and I'm not necessarily trying to get into that issue, whether or not I agree with that. I'm just saying that was the thinking. And so you'll see that more with conservatives saying, we want to keep the system so that everybody gets a fair shake, even if it doesn't benefit our side. Whereas the left will say, nah, man, just burn it down.
Yeah. Quite literally, you know, peaceful fires.
It's going to get mostly peaceful out
mostly
there.
Mostly peaceful.
It's going to get mostly peaceful out there.
Yeah, man. You look at what's going out the Roe v. Wade stuff. You look at Bill Maher came out and he, I'm sorry, not Bill Maher, John Stewart. And he said that this is the Fox News of Supreme Courts. And then I'm watching that and I'm like, why? Because they're like, these are the rules the country was set upon. Yep. The attitude of these people like John Stewart is, if enough people want it, it doesn't matter what the law is. And I'm like, that's stupid. Because people often want really dumb, dangerous things. So we have a process by which we come to cooperate and agree upon things. And if you can't do it, well, too bad. The problem is Congress is dysfunctional. And so people aren't getting what they want, so they prefer to burn it down. Politicians, knowing that you can get votes from really dumb people, are pandering to them, and it's working.
Which, by the way, it's the amazing thing on the Roe v. Wade ruling, which for 50 years stood as, see, that literally was the opposite of, right, quote unquote, democracy, right? Because they went to the courts and said, we don't like that these Republicans are banning this thing that we want, so we want you to make it a federal, not just law, right, that would you pass through Congress, but a federal rule, essentially ruling that there's a right to this that doesn't actually, you know, appear anywhere in the Constitution, but we're going to protect it as if it does, so that these states can't decide on their own how they want to run their states. So it's this really weird kind of situation where they banned banning it, right? They banned banning abortion. That's what Roe v. Wade did. And so overturning it doesn't allow abortion bans. It allows each state.
It didn't even ban
it.
It said you can't ban it in the first trimester. In the second trimester, we'll have a conversation.
That's correct.
In the third, it can be banned. And you ask these people, they don't even know what Roe did or what Casey did. Casey changed from a viability standard from trimester to viability.
Right.
But they don't even know why they're protesting. I was watching this one video where this woman is being interviewed. She's like an Antifa person, and she's like real Roe v. Wade or whatever. And she's like, I should be able to go down and the government should pay for my abortion. And then the person asking is like, you're in California. That's how it is. You can literally do that. And she's like, everyone should. And they're like, yes, but everyone in California can do that. You don't live in Texas.
Yeah.
What are you protesting in California for?
Most of the protests were in states where abortion will probably continue to be legal.
Right. Overturning Roe is the most pro-choice decision because it just gave it to the states to do whatever you want.
Right.
Yeah, most of the fires happening.
Increased choice.
Yeah.
Right, actually increased choice. States where
you
can right.
get whatever
no,
you want.
They just want Republicans to abort their babies.
I got mixed feelings about it because people say, like, I don't want the government involved in medical procedures. And then so the Supreme Court said, okay, no governments can be involved in this medical procedure. It's completely up. So then they're like, no.
No federal government.
Yeah, no federal government
for
can.
Now.
And now there's 50 governments that can decide. So like before there was one government deciding, the union, now there's 50. So is that better?
I don't get it. The states all had laws on the books. So Roe basically said, the question with Roe and Casey is, does the baby have its own privacy rights? And the general idea was, at viability, it does. Pre-viability, it doesn't, because it's dependent. And so states were allowed to pass laws restricting or regulating abortion, and they all did. So you had 51 governments. The federal government just said, it is not up to so the Supreme Court said, we do not have authority on this, Congress will have to pass a law, we out. And now one less government was making an imposition. And the 50 states that were in some way regulating just changed the way they were regulating, so they're all still involved. Plus, it's like it even goes down to the county and state city level too. Like, it's not just one government; it's thousands of governments regulating all this stuff.
I've definitely got abortion fatigue at this point. The conversation has gone on, like, maybe because we're on a talk show and it comes up almost every day.
But like, it's because, in my opinion, the Democrats are using it for a very serious wedge issue. They're protesting. I don't understand what they're protesting. And to your point, Ian, the fatigue, what do they want? What are they asking for? California doesn't need anything from Texas. New York doesn't need anything from Oklahoma. The people who live in those places, for the most part, voted for these policies and these politicians. Is it that the majority of New York is looking out for the 8% of Oklahoma that is concerned about this?
It just looks like two separate realities are at war. And they're because it comes down to just one reality thinks it's a life and the other doesn't. And like they're warring over the definition of life,
or they think it is a life and they're willing to kill it,
or just human sacrifice.
But. I think you're sort of right, but I don't think the left has any real cohesive standard by what they're talking about.
Yeah,
because look, some woman today she posted, "How is it that abortion got banned?" So I saw some meme on Facebook. How is it these abortion got banned before an assault rifle? And so I just responded with, "Assault rifles are banned under the Hughes Amendment, 1984, I believe it's 1984." And you can get them, they're grandfathered in. You're referring to standard semi-automatic rifles. And she's responded with, I'm referring to anything that can kill a kid and leave them like a bloody mess. And I'm like, okay, well, that's all guns.
Well, so, anything that can kill a kid.
Right, it could be a brick.
Right, yeah. So if you've got kids, believe me, like
crowbar.
As a parent, you are constantly in a state of just when you're around your kid, you're not, all right, this can do this, this can do that. They could fall. They could do this thing. They could literally turn anything in their home into that.
Yes. I think Hughes Act is 86. Is that right?
Is it 86?
Firearm Owners Protection Act.
Okay, right. So I was wrong. 86? It's 86. But my point is just like, if you post something incorrect and I say, I understand what you're saying, let me give you the proper framing. You say, I don't care. I'm like, okay, I get it. You don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, you're literally arguing nothing. Fine. Then what's the point of having a conversation with someone who's arguing nothing?
I don't do it. I won't do it anymore.
But this is the rule. It is the exception on the right is the rule on the left. It's the exception on the right and the rule on the left.
What is the exception or the rule?
That on the right, you will encounter periodically individuals who don't actually argue for something. They're tribalist. But it's the exception. The actual ultra MAGA, like fringe Trump diehards who believe crazy things, like come March 3rd, Donald Trump will be, it's like, okay, there's not very many of them. They're not prominent in media. There are some politicians that have pushed closer to the fringe of that, but the mainstream conversation defined as the right for the most part is like extremely argumentative, extremely nuanced. Like, look at the show we did on the Roe v. Wade overturn day with Seamus and Austin Peterson and Will Chamberlain. We all disagreed on everything.
I was listening to that show live, and that was fantastic. That was a fantastic episode.
But this is the quote-unquote right, and it's like, it's funny when people on Twitter are like, Tim's right, right wing, and I'm just like, I'm center-left on like a lot of public policy issues. I'm just libertarian. If that's the case, then what we call the left with Nancy Pelosi Democrats, they're not arguing for anything. They're not arguing anything. It is the rule. On the left, they will not give you an argument. It's the exception. Some of them will. Mm. On the right, it is the rule. You will get the argument. It's the exception. Sometimes it's tribalism.
It's kind of like emotions versus logic, I think. A lot of people that would consider themselves leftists are driven by their emotional standards.
But I think there's another angle to it as well that gets into the word rule itself. But it, like, in the other sense of the word rule, as power, right? And so I think that for 50 years, Roe v. Wade stood as a sacred cow for the left for a very long time. It was one of the most powerful things that they think of it, right? They were able to impose by sheer force of will, right? This was the culmination of the radical 60s, the sexual revolution, obviously, that they were allowed to pass this, not just in their own states. They willed an actual amendment to the Constitution into being through the courts without actually having to go through the constitutional process itself. And it stood the test of time for 50 years. And so I think that they realize inherently, and even, you know, even the folks like Pelosi and Hillary who are around at that time, they realize that that level of power that they've had is starting to slip away.
Adrian Curry chatted, Tim is super left with sprinkles of righty. That proves it.
That does prove it.
Yeah. But are they rainbow sprinkles?
MAGA sprinkles.
Yeah. MAGA sprinkles. This is the funny thing, this is like the MAGA sprinkles.
Yeah. People were commenting like, Tim Pool is far right. This proves it. MAGA month and all that. And it's just like, it's very clearly meant to be just a silly, fun thing to do. That's not.
You can't have fun.
You can't have fun.
How dare you?
We say that now on the show, but afterwards the ritual will commence, right?
Yeah.
The robes come out.
It's called the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Right.
We're going to grill stuff. There's going to be fireworks.
I think civic
is a holiday.
100%. I think civic rituals are important. I think a functioning society, a cohesive society has civic rituals. And, you know, 4th of July obviously is one of the largest ones, but it's so, you know, even the more, you know, basic ones, like, you know, standing up for the national anthem at a baseball game, or there's a drive-in movie theater I take my kids to, and they play the national anthem, and they say, hey, can everyone just get out of your car? And, like, they don't say it, but it's like, shut up for, like, it's a minute, right? But you stand up and you do that, and it is a national ritual.
What should happen is that at every sporting event, a large glass holographic screen comes up with Hulk Hogan playing the electric guitar with the American flag behind him, and then fireworks start launching like crazy.
Agreed.
While we all sing the national anthem.
We all ride eagles into the sunset.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. I want to pull up this tweet because it's Friday. We're going to have some fun. I have this tweet from Shuanhead. Everybody, I'm sure you know Shuanhead.
Wait. This tweet, it could potentially be considered violence. Now, Tim, are we good to show this?
Sure, yeah.
It actually is very dangerous. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez called for violence.
But we're reporting on her call for violence.
And we are denouncing it.
And we are absolutely denouncing
it. No, I'll, for the sake of clarity. AOC in a video said that people should be, you know what, I'm not gonna say it.
No.
AOC was asking people to send emails and phone calls.
Now you're gonna do it.
I know, because YouTube's crazy.
Right.
AOC, speaking on a video, was like, everybody call your reps, call their offices, send them messages and postcards, but she didn't quite say it.
There
that
is a
way.
Phrase that is...
I'm gonna play it.
Flood their phone line.
I'm gonna play what she said. Are you guys ready?
Like audio?
Let me, I always gotta fix the audio, because we were playing some music. Here we go, you ready? You ready?
And we need to be really blowing up our elected officials' offices.
Shu on the head says, loud and clear, queen.
Loud and clear.
It's a funny thing. Shu is lefty. She's like lefty libertarian. And so many lefties got really mad that she posted this.
Why?
They were like, it's out of context, obviously. Well, duh, that's a joke.
It's literally
we
a joke.
We know what AOC means. AOC is saying, call your local reps.
Standing back and standing by. Standing back and standing by.
Ted Kaczynski. Come on.
Here's why I bring this up. Not in any way to drag AOC. I mean, there's a lot of things to criticize her for. The video clip from this show, when she went on Colbert and just made up stuff, we called it AOC Paul's Chad move.
Yeah, super
Chad move. Blatantly lying on TV.
Just lying on live TV.
Seamus was right. He was like, do you know what happened with this?
No, I didn't see this.
AOC went on Colbert and he was like, what should the president do in response to Roe? And she goes, well, we're informed by history. You know, look to the Civil War. The Confederacy had taken over the Supreme Court and were ruling in ways that was impeding Abraham Lincoln, like Dred Scott, that ruled black people couldn't be citizens. So what did Abraham Lincoln do? He signed the Emancipation Proclamation. And when I watched that happen, I was like banging my head on the table, because it's just like a hodgepodge.
It's actually kind of amazing. It's actually kind of a Chad move. Yeah, it's kind of Chad. It's sort of like... It reminds me of like the, you know, the sort of like the secret president theory and some of the different things. Like it's if you don't like
nonsense.
Like right, if you don't like your own version, like if you don't like reality, it's not to your liking, you just make up your own.
But with this one, it was kind of just like I'm imagining a dude sitting back and being like Abraham Lincoln, his cousin Winston Churchill.
Oh, wow.
Did you know that one?
Yeah.
People don't know this. And John Wilkes Booth,
maybe
third cousins.
It's true, they don't.
Maybe AOC three-year letterman on Twitter.
So let me just for the sake of breaking this down, because I have to do it. I know you guys may have seen the segment we did on it, but I want to talk about media. That's what we're talking about here with the story. But just to clarify, the Confederacy did not take over the Supreme Court. Nope. Maybe she means they were more sympathetic to the South. Fine. Dred Scott was 4 years before Abraham Lincoln became president. So no, the Supreme Court was not impeding him. The Confederacy had already seceded before Abraham Lincoln was even president. The Emancipation Proclamation was signed 2 years after he became president, 6 years after Dred Scott, and in no way had anything to do with Dred Scott.
And by the way, in the middle of the war.
Right. And it wasn't until the end of the war and the 14th and 15th Amendment that citizenship was granted to slaves. So she just made everything up. But anyway, I digress.
AOC, you need to brush up on your Juneteenth history.
Seriously.
Agreed.
I am not bringing up this clip of her saying, you know, blowing up offices or whatever to drag her. I'm doing to make a point about the media.
Right.
Because this is what they do. The fact that AOC said it, and we know the intent of what she said, modern media doesn't give that benefit to anyone associated with the right.
No.
At all. Ever. Donald Trump could come out and be like, he'll be like, did you see this video of AOC saying blowing up offices? Now we know what she meant. We know what she meant. And then they'll say Donald Trump pushes idea that you should, you know, blow up offices or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then they've done this to me where they're like, there are these things go around. You and I are both on these things where they claim that we are pushing election misinformation stuff.
What did we do?
There's a bunch of these studies where it's like, you know, Tim. Like a
little, oh, the studies. Right. They never quite explain what it is that you said. They just said, decide that you said them and then they put you on the list.
Here's what they do. I'll give you an example. Shane, tell me that the sky is not green.
Sky is not green.
Oh, Shane Cashman pushes idea about sky actually being green.
Promotes theory that sky potentially green.
That's right.
That's true.
By bringing it up and saying anything about it, you've pushed
can
it.
You say no, like,
you've promoted
can
it.
You say Shane Cashman, quote, the sky is ..
Green.
Yes. Green.
They do
right.
That. Quote.
Yeah. Do
that's
that.
The point
just
about
cut the word not
well.
Out. Yeah. I mean, come on. That's
an illusionist of the editing world.
Yeah. That's the point about what AOC said.
It's technically a functional way to quote
right.
Someone.
You guys ready for this one?
But it's deceptive.
We got another clip. Shu on the head says, AOC,
oh, wait, she looks upset
no.
Here. She looks upset.
All right. You need to listen to this. You ready?
White supremacy is a fact. It's not just a fact. You look at FBI statistics. It's-
oh, no.
What? No.
White supremacy is a
okay,
noun.
Hold on.
Yeah, that's what they show.
Hold on.
Those stats show that's it
I
right
got,
there.
I got a legitimate question, though.
Jamie, pull up the FBI statistics.
Yeah. In what actual context is she saying these things? Because why is she telling people to pull up the FBI stats?
That's interesting.
I think there is an FBI report that will come out talking about white identity extremists or racial identity extremists or whatever the latest term is for it, and they will find all these things like somebody committed suicide, but then they'll consider that a homicide or, you know, something is tangentially involved, and they will call it a white terrorist attack. And they will use this to create this like hugely inflated number out there, which is coming out from the FBI saying that, that this is the greatest threat to America today.
Let me break this down. There, Ben and Jerry's pushed this racist idea. The issue is the left and the right will cite the same stat in the FBI to make the opposite claims.
Right.
The stat posted by Ben and Jerry's that, you know, the black population is 13% of the United States, yet incarceration rates among the black population is way higher, which is quite literally the exact same argument made by white supremacists. So when AOC comes out and says white supremacy is a fact, it sounds like, out of context, she's saying it is real, like it is a true thing, like she's promoting
she
it.
She believes there.
Yeah. Right.
Supreme. Yes.
And then when she mentions FBI stats, what she said could be slightly altered and come right out of the mouth of a white supremacist.
Oh yeah, you're right.
It's the exact argument.
Because they
project
everything.
Well, because the woke identitarian left, the critical race theorists, are outright right racist. Mm-hmm. So they look at everything and they're like, that's the only explanation. And they're making the same argument. The difference is who they think is the racist person. AOC's argument is, oh, this proves the police are racist because these people shouldn't be in jail. Whereas white supremacists are like, it proves bad things about black people. When in reality, they're looking at the same stat, asserting some racialized ideology, and just making everything worse for everybody. Yeah. Thanks, AOC.
But there's also an element of what Michael Anton at Claremont has written about this, and he calls it the celebration parallax, where he says if the left cites something, then we have to say, oh, it's happening and it's good and it's wonderful that this is happening. But if the right identifies the same pattern or trend in society, it's a conspiracy and it's wrong and it's probably racist to even talk about it. Right. So you can say this about the Great Reset is a great example of this, right? Mm-hmm. You know, where they'll come out and say, or even with the thing that was going out today, the liberal world order. If you went on Twitter today and typed in liberal world order, you would think, oh, well, it's going to play that clip of Brian Deese, who is the White House economic advisor. When they ask him the question, you know, why are Americans paying $4.85 a gallon going into, you know, 4th of July weekend, he says, well, it's for, you know, I'm paraphrasing,
to protect
we have to protect the liberal world order. And people are said, oh, well, at least he's honest, right? You know, guy, but comes from BlackRock, by the way. And if you went to Twitter and searched that, earlier today, I don't know if it's still there. And so
yeah, it
if you search it today, yeah. Right now it's still there.
It's all up. Yeah.
That if you search it, there was a fact check that was the first thing that you saw, and it said fact check. Comments today about liberal world order are not the same as the conspiracy theory that a new world order is being instituted by the United States government.
That is not up anymore. Now it goes right to the New York Post article. New York Post probably helped dispense with it.
It was there I tweeted the video, yeah. Right?
Wow, man.
You know, and there was a fact because before we can even let you engage with the content that was, again, stated by the White House economic advisor regarding why your gas prices are so high, right? They had to correctly frame it for you like a leftist meme before you can even interact with the actual.
Well, let's pull the story up here. I've got it here from the New York Post. Biden advisor, liberal world order demands enduring high gas prices. I just want to point out, first and foremost, they said that it was going to be a quick thing. The gas prices were going to go up. Now they're saying it's going to be years.
Yeah.
So, okay. Sounds like that's just the case. They're saying until Ukraine wins, and they might not. And if Russia wins, then your gas price is just going to stay up forever. But here's the best part about this liberal world order thing. It's not a conspiracy theory anymore. Now, like you said just a moment ago, they're arguing it's not the same thing as the conspiracy theory. Yo, there was a time, not even that long ago, a couple, like decade ago, if you said the Gulf of Tonkin incident was a false flag. You were a conspiracy theorist. And I think it was the 2000s when they finally came out with reports being like, actually, the U.S. kind of staged the whole thing so we could enter Vietnam. It's like, okay, in my lifetime, I have watched the narrative break down and start crumbling. And I mean, kind of hilariously, Alex Jones being proven right more and more often, although he does say rather crazy and outlandish things. He ends up talking about things. Epstein, that was a conspiracy theory. Ghislaine Maxwell was sentenced to 20 years for aiding the trafficking with Epstein. Yep. Powerful global elites were flying on his plane. Not a conspiracy theory anymore.
Yeah, the line on that, I thought that was the best. And Ted Cruz actually posted it. Ted Cruz being right. It was Ghislaine Maxwell, the first person to be convicted of trafficking children to no one.
Exactly. But there was a period where if you brought that up, that there were powerful global elites trafficking children. They were like, oh, here we go.
Right.
They still try and claim the idea as a conspiracy. And if you, well, I mean, it was a conspiracy, but a fake one, like made up. If you come out now.
But not Epstein.
Epstein.
No, that wasn't fake. That was real.
I'm saying they claim it's not real.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Like, so here's my point. Like
Epstein was conspiring with other people to traffic women.
There was a period where, you know, probably only several years ago, if you claimed there was a powerful global elite with world leaders flying on planes and they were trafficking, they called you a conspiracy theorist. Then Epstein, it all comes out. Ghislaine Maxwell gets sentenced. Epstein is shuffled loose the mortal coil, as it were. Now it's just like, oh yeah, we knew they were doing that. Now the crazy thing is, there was a story I saw and it said, you know, like 50% of Republicans believe global elites are running child trafficking rings. And it was like, incredulous, and I'm like, but
what's wrong with the other 50%?
No, but the issue is, it's like they're trying to make it seem like it's a crazy idea to have when Ghislaine Maxwell was literally on trial at that point. Mm-hmm. Let me show you this other story. Take a look at this one. I saw this in the morning, and you know, look, I normally like the Daily Mail. They're not that bad, but they're not like the best. Clarence Thomas cites debunked claim that COVID vaccines are created with cells of aborted children in dissent on SCOTUS decision. There is so much wrong with this story. Okay, they go on to say, Clarence Thomas suggested COVID vaccines are developed using cells of aborted children.
True.
Underneath that sentence, it says, cells obtained from elective abortions decades ago were used in testing during the COVID vaccine development process. What? How can you have these two sentences next to each other?
They're stupid. They only read the headline.
Here's the best part. You're right. You only read the headline. You don't know the facts. Let's say you actually got to the second part. You're like, oh, Clarence Thomas was right. No. Clarence Thomas didn't actually cite this at all. Clarence Thomas referenced the plaintiff argument in his dissent. He did not say personally, I, Clarence Thomas, believe that this vaccine is developed with. He said the plaintiffs are suing because the vaccine's X, Y, and Z. And then the media went, oh, he's saying it's true too. And it's like, no, he was citing their argument.
Which is exactly what Hsu just did to AOC.
Right. That's right.
It's the exact same thing.
Here's the best part. The vaccines are developed using cells from aborted babies for the testing process.
Well, we wouldn't call that the best part.
But the
the facetious best part. The media is the fact that they said it's a debunked claim. No, it isn't.
This here says that they were created with the cells, but you're saying they were tested on it with the cells, but then did the final product too? Because there's the
which is let's get as literal as possible. He stated.
Hold on, we'll get as literal as possible. In the process of creating this vaccine, there are numerous steps.
Now, that's a good argument. The creation is the entire process of development.
Which requires testing before any kind of... So,
if you're just talking about the final thing that they end up making, maybe all the things they tested aren't being used in the final thing.
No, listen.
Now, that's a challenging
argument. Not only did he never say the words created with, he said development, and he was quoting a group. They attribute it to him. They changed the word in the framing, and it's fake anyway because how could you create a medication without testing it? How would you know it did anything if you didn't test it?
You're not legally allowed to do that.
Imagine you were like, this person is sick. I'm going to take a chemical. The chemical is medicine for it. I've never tested it, but I'm just going to sell it now. No. There's a testing process in the creation of any drug. So even if you want to get technical, Clarence Thomas would have been right should he have actually claimed it was created using these things. It is just such a mishmash, garbage, nonsense media landscape. Anyway, my point is, to go back to the liberal world order stuff, today, if you talked about New World Order, even a month ago, they were like, it's a conspiracy, it's not real. And then you got, who was it who came out? I mean, Joe Biden said it several times.
He said, right, so Biden has said it, and we were playing the clip earlier today where he was, this is 2017, he uses the exact same phrase, liberal world order. And so you've heard also a phrase a lot lately, the rules-based world order. But when you hear this again, liberal world order, and you realize that, okay, this is really, it's define world, by the way, because it doesn't seem like most of the world is in this.
And you
it?
See Build Back Better all over the planet.
Build Back Better is all over, yeah. Everywhere.
But if you look at the countries that are involved with the Bank for International Settlements, which is the Swiss bank, governs like the Federal Reserve and all these other federal, these banks, you see the countries that are stuck inside of this liberal economic order. It's the same countries.
And what I'm saying is you see like maybe, you know, maybe Japan, South Korea, but it's not all of Asia. It's certainly not all of Africa. There are huge swaths of South America that aren't part of this thing. And so when it comes down to it, you know, if you can define, can we get a map of the liberal world order? You know, can we get, you know, do we have flags for it?
Here's what they do.
Have a month for it.
There will be someone who says, lizard people. And then they'll find the craziest claim and say, this is what the New World Order conspiracy theory believes. Then you'll get a major politician like Biden saying, it's time we get a new world order. And what he's saying is we have a liberal world order and we need a new kind of world order, which means powerful global elites and interests are colluding for the sake of international governance, which is literally what the Council on Foreign Relations calls it. And then if you say, oh, did you see that? They're talking about new world order. And they'll go, that means you believe in lizard people. Try to debunk it. Before the internet, it was easy to do because the media would just lie.
Right.
Now we can talk to each other much more easily and they can't do anything about it.
However, I checked the Wikipedia for the liberal economic order, the
liberal
rules-based order, the U.S.-led world economy, basically. And they have – Wikipedia has changed the Wikipedia in the last month, maybe even damage control for when this guy came out and said it. They took away – and you can go to the Wayback Machine and look at the difference. It's pretty stark. In the beginning of this, they were very overt that it was a U.S.-led world economic order. Yeah,
let's go back in time.
Let's find out when they recently changed it because they took the U.S.-led part out of it. Because you know people are hitting it, they're reading the first paragraph, and they're toning out. But this is very much that after World War II, they decided we don't want another world war. We're going to use the U.S. and the U.S. military to set up military bases all across the world, use OPEC. We're going to use the American military might to force people to buy oil in U.S. dollars, create a global currency, create a global authority. That's basically what this world order is.
Now, there's also a world of thought that it's actually sort of an inheritance of the British Empire. That where, you know, and maybe even 500 years from now, when, you know, whatever America is at that point or whatever, you know, North America is at that point, that historians in the future may even just consider this order as a continuation of the British Empire, may not even separate them.
Which really was like the banking empire that
Happy
got into
July,
Britain,
by the way.
Like,
hey, check it out. Just real quick. Sorry, Ian.
No problem.
The first article is the Liberal International Economic Order. And then it actually references the new international economic order. Oh. So it's the liberal world order and the new world order?
The remix.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. I think what happened was when the Rothschild family in like the 1700s started their banking empire, and this Bavarian banker, his three sons split up and each took a piece of the banking empire. Basically, that's how they got it started. One of the bankers went to England, and that guy started controlling England through the bank. And that's the new world order is the banking part of it. So when you're saying it's an extension of the British Empire, the American Empire, which is really an extension of the banking empire, this Bavarian banking empire, now they're set up in Switzerland with this Bank for International Settlements, which needs way more media attention. We're going to have to...
It's not a conspiracy theory anymore, gentlemen. The narrative's busted apart. And it was easy when someone would – you could be a researcher and you can go, hey, New York Times, did you notice that there's a bunch of documents showing that there's a bunch of international elites coming together for some kind of global economic order? And they'll say, don't know, don't care. We won't publish it. Now you can actually publish documents and there's no denying it. Yep. It just breaks through the barrier.
Unless your name is Julian Assange.
There's the song.
Well, he did a lot more than that.
I was told like the UN was basically all the countries of the world, the best powers of the world. And then I found out about the non-aligned movement. You guys familiar with the non-aligned movement? It's every other country that's not in the UN. It's basically another UN. It's the other one. Like there's two worlds going on right now.
I mean,
one of them is the US-led rules-based economy, and then there's everything else.
There's the G7, and then there's BRICS. And BRICS has, I think, what, like six or seven times as many people.
And BRICS is growing. So, this is one of the biggest things that we've seen this week, and really nobody is talking about it. I'm just gonna say it, right? This is growing as a response to the liberal world order slipping and collapsing in upon itself. You can look at potentially the turnover of Hong Kong as one of the early, you know, kind of precursors of this. And then really though, just what, 2 years? So today, right, Xi Jinping went to Hong Kong for the first time since the protests in 2019, and those protests were over. Okay, so Hong Kong, yeah, they changed flags in 97. That's when the UK formally rescinded sovereignty. But it was 2019 when they passed what they called the National Security Law, where the CCP essentially came in and just took essential total control, just total control. And Xi Jinping today, this very day, visited for the first time, and he said Hong Kong has risen from the ashes.
Wow.
That's what he stated today, because he knows he's won.
So let's talk about the liberal.
And so, not to go, but to finish my point, that BRICS is arising. BRICS is on the way up. Iran just stated that they put in a submission to join BRICS. I don't know if they've changed the acronym then. And do people know what BRICS is? Argentina is talking about it.
No.
So BRICS, what is it? Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, right? Five of the world's biggest countries, and certainly population-wise, and they are raising starting economic, but they're talking military, certainly China, Russia, and they are moving, to Ian's point, in a currency basis as well.
I'm wondering about the liberal economic order and the value of it, because I trash it a lot. The whole idea of a global military economic government that's in the shadows is terrifying, but the reason it was built was to prevent a world war. Now, if we completely just dispense with it, it's gone tomorrow. You've got BRICS. You've got like an autocratic communist government. So do you believe it's one or the other, Jack? Like what, I'm interested in your take on the liberal economic order, the value of it.
Well, so this is me, right? This gets to me as a populist, you know, and what I believe is that I think that we do need to go back to a system where, and this is where the phrase America first comes from, right? So people get the mistake that America first means American only, or that America should just go and do whatever they feel like. And that, no, that's not necessarily true. It's just that our government should exist for the benefit of the people who live within the confines of the country, right? Which is the opposite, obviously, of what Brian Deese said today. And so it is in the benefit, obviously, of the United States to have military alliances, to have trade, to have economic relations, but we shouldn't put those global organizations and transnational organizations ahead of the interest of our own people. We need to go back to what, you know, might even be considered more of a 19th century type of formulation in this idea of, sure, we can have these forums that exist, right? And you can call it whatever you want, you know, but we should never become subservient to them. It should always be a forum which is subservient to the sovereignty of the nation itself.
I feel like a lot of people are begging for that kind of world though.
Yeah.
Right now it's scary. Like when I was in New York, they really wanted a big government across the whole world to keep them safe from COVID.
And that's the opposite of what we've seen. And that's the Great Reset, right? That's what the Great Reset is. That's what the documentary we're working on is about. That's what, apparently why I got detained in Davos for, you know, having the audacity to simply go there and talk about it. We also went to Geneva and talked about the World Health Organization's pandemic treaty that they're trying to push on the 194 nations. And so this is the problem, right? The problem is that you have, for example, I just mentioned Hong Kong, right? So when we were in Davos, we were going up and down the promenade. We went through a huge, so Russia's been kicked out, right? Ukraine everywhere. Everything's Ukraine, Ukraine flags, Ukraine house, underwritten by Viktor Pinchuk. Who's Viktor Pinchuk, by the way? He was the oligarch who at one point was one of the top donors to the Clinton Foundation, right? So one of the most powerful oligarchs within the Ukraine sphere. Russia's been kicked out, Ukraine's everywhere, and we're told you have to support Ukraine because you support democracy. We went to Ukraine as well. And, we went down to Odessa, Mykolaiv, my brother was with me. And the one thing though, the one word that I didn't hear anywhere at the World Economic Forum in Davos, there was no house for it, there was no speaker who mentioned it, there was no breakout session on it, and that was the word Taiwan. The word Taiwan was completely omitted from the World Economic Forum. And so my question was, you guys care so much about democracy and freedom, where's Taiwan on this? And it's simple, because the CCP has set up a situation where they're in this military slash economic alliance with Russia and the BRICS nations, but they're also in an economic relationship with the West and the liberal world order. Because why? Because we've been financing them with Western capital since the 1970s, essentially since the death of Mao and the rise of Deng Xiaoping, and post Tiananmen Square, it was the Bush family, and it was so many interests associated there to say essentially, look, we're not going to push over the power of the CCP. We're going to make a deal with you. And Snowcroft goes over there and has the secret meeting, right? Because the CCP could have been on their last legs if we just pulled the rug out from under them and cut FDI immediately on June 5th, 1989. But that's not what Bush did when he was in office. He said, we're going to make a deal. We're going to make a deal with you. Our manufacturing is going to come over here. We're going to use your slave labor. That's where that's going to go. We keep the IP, right? So we get to maintain the companies, we get to maintain the power and the profits from it. You guys get all the manufacturing. And that's been the bulwark of this liberal world order, because we've outsourced our manufacturing to Asia. We've outsourced our energy to the Middle East as it was. And this was something that Trump, when he was in office, was, whether he meant to or not, right? That was what he was working to roll back. That's what gave us American energy, not just independence, but dominance. And that was why he was so opposed to NAFTA, TPP, so many of these deals.
Well, let's get serious about what's going on in the world, though. You talk about all of these very scary things, but let's talk about the source of their power. The Large Hadron Collider. Inverse reports, the Large Hadron Collider restarts next week. Here's what it's hunting for.
Also, okay. Right next to Geneva,
joking.
By the way. Also right there.
Yep, it is. It's
not but a joke. I want to point something out. I am kidding. I think it's going to be fun that they restart this, but there's a lot of jokey, silly theories about...
They're not silly.
All right. But hold on. You're going to love this one.
Well, you know, Geneva, is like the global head.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
For sure.
People think it's the UN, but like Geneva really is like that's the main engine of the United Nations.
Okay, but
it's all there.
Let's first say this.
Yeah, it's all
the Large Hadron Collider in Geneva is restarting next week. A lot of people think weird stuff is going on. We have this story from August 18th, 2016. This is from The Independent. You can see their little pride symbol next in their logo, even though it's MAGA month. What are they doing? Human sacrifice staged at CERN, home of the God particle. CERN says the ritual could undermine the actual science that goes on at the organization. Now they say a human sacrifice has been staged in the grounds of the European Organization for Nuclear Research, the home of the God particle. A video circulating online shows hooded figures apparently engaging in a ritual staged under a huge statue of a Hindu deity, at the end of which a woman is stabbed. But the footage appears to have been recorded as part of a prank by scientists. Then you get this on Wikipedia. The CERN ritual hoax. Okay, far be it from me to claim it was anything other than a prank. But it reminds me of, are you guys watching The Boys?
Mm-mm. I know it. I haven't seen it.
It's the new show on Amazon Prime. And I'm not going to spoil it, but there's a point at which two characters are arguing. And then one character turns out to be recording. So the other character goes, you're not supposed to record when we're running lines. And I thought that was hilarious because, like, that's a way out of getting caught. So someone's filming you, like, oh, we were acting the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then I see this, and it's like someone posts video footage showing a human sacrifice, and they're like, oh, it was a prank. It's just a prank, bro.
Just art.
It's just a prank.
Just art.
We're just doing a...
We got you, buddy. We got you. And, but it looks like you stabbed that woman. No, she's not stabbed.
It's a prank.
She's screaming. that's acting.
So the issue is, look, here's what I'm going to say. I have no evidence of anything about what happened with that human sacrifice thing at CERN, but I'm not just going to believe the media when they're like, it's a prank, bro. Mm-mm. I'm like, okay, well, dude, I don't know. That doesn't debunk anything. You're just saying it's a prank.
Right, interference patterns. So if there's multiple frequencies going on that aren't the same, they interfere with each other, and then you get a diminishment. And if people are vibrating, and there's too many of them, and their vibrations are interfering with each other, that would mean that you need to remove some of the interference.
Well, I think this is what...
I'm talking about producing coherence.
You want to talk about conspiracy theories? Let's talk about conspiracy theories.
What is going on?
All right, check it out. So there's the fluoride conspiracy theory that it calcifies your pineal gland or whatever. I don't know what that means. I guess it does. I don't know. Does it do anything about it? The idea is...
Yes, it does. I've read scientific data that says the pineal gland can calcify, yeah.
And so people often say that pineal gland is like the third eye to help you perceive the spiritual and stuff.
Right.
And by living in a world where we've neutralized our abilities because of fluoride, we've essentially destroyed our third eye or whatever. And so there's that idea. And then this was a funny one. The double slit experiment, right?
Right.
You guys know about the double slit experiment?
Yeah.
You don't? Let me explain it. So, if you take a big sheet of metal and then you, behind it, you put a big target board. If you fire off a bunch of shotgun blasts at that sheet of metal with a single slit through it, when you go behind it, what will you see on the target board? A straight line of pellets or buckshot or whatever from the shotgun. So the plate shields everything but that slit. If you put two slits, what would you expect to see? Two straight lines right behind it. They did this with electrons.
Oh, yeah.
Through the single slit, they got what's called a particle pattern, meaning a straight line of electrons hit the back sensor. When they used two, the double slit, they got an interference pattern suggesting waves, which is more like water. Hippies then went on to be like, whoa, that proves that the observer changes reality. And it's like, well... No, it's like the method by which we measured it changed wave function collapse. So it doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot, but a lot of people believe the double slit experiment proves that the observer plays a role in when reality collapses to a single point. That is, there could be an infinite number of universes and that you as an observer observing something determine when it collapses to a single position as opposed to a superposition. To oversimplify it again, your observation manipulates reality and creates it. If that is true, then the conspiracy theory goes, there are too many people on the planet. And all of their observations are interfering with each other, creating a chaotic world, which results in a Donald Trump presidency. So the conspiracy theory is global elites want to cull as many people as possible, not because of overpopulation, but to diminish the amount of observers who are affecting reality. I think it's all magic talk mumbo jumbo and might as well just be a science fiction novel. But it's happening
through corporate media where they're giving us a distortion of information through that. It's like every time you read anything.
I think what's happening in the double split, you got most of it right, but I think there's something about it was when they had two slits, if they fired the electrons through and no one was watching, they would come back later and they'd find two lines. But if they record it, and I could be getting it backwards.
No, you're right.
Find the interference pattern. It's the other way around.
When they measured which slit the electrons were going through,
they went through one or the other.
Right. They got a particle pattern.
When they didn't measure it, they went through what looked
all
like both.
Wow. It went through all and created a wave pattern. So that's when they were like, wow, the act of measuring which one it went through changed wave function.
So too much observation is creating too stagnant of a reality.
Mm. Is the conspiracy theory. In reality, there's a much simpler explanation. Imagine there is so I'm sorry for all the hippies out there who believe in the double slit experiment. I'm going to debunk it for you. Or not debunk it, but cast doubt.
Well, I've always thought that it would make, that the simpler explanation would be it has something to do with the function of the measuring.
Well, exactly. So here's the point. So imagine there is a table and an ant is walking across the table and you are like, I wonder how far that ant has walked. So you take a ruler and slam it on the table and then the ant turns left and you go, the act of observing the ant changed the direction. I can control ants with my mind. And you're no, dude, you put a ruler next to it and it got scared and ran away. Whatever you did to monitor the electron interfered with its function and changed what was going to happen. That's the simple answer.
Right.
A lot of the hippy-dippy people are like, it means like when you look at it with your own eyes, it changes.
But it does indicate that the observation tool can interfere with behavior. And wondering, we are observation tools. Are we inadvertently interfering with reality just by watching it?
Like, no.
Is that why meditation is so valuable? Because you remove yourself from the observer.
But that is not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is that when you slam a ruler next to an ant, you create a physical disturbance, and the ant will change its behavior.
Yeah, I think the physical disturbance of the observer is undetectable at this stage.
It is not the fact that a human eyeball is looking at a machine measuring an electron. It's that you are injecting something to the point where the electron is, causing it to physically interact. Mm-hmm.
I bet when you're thinking about something, you're doing that too.
I don't believe that.
I don't think that's been, far
be it for me. I don't know.
But this is why, let's talk about meditation. Like, I mean, Twitter, I don't know if you guys feel it, but I get agitated when I get on there. Not always. Sometimes I'm so agitated I don't realize I'm agitated.
Twitter,
dude.
Well, like, I mean, that's...
Everyone
that's
opens just, Twitter and gets angry instantly.
Psychology.
Have you ever meditated for like 20 minutes and come out like a placid lake?
Well, it's nice to just get all the noise out, for sure. I mean, You have to do it.
And is it like if we don't meditate, they're coming for your thoughts? I don't know if
what I'm doing is meditating, but I'm trying to stay away from the phone and turn off the TVs. Well, I don't own a TV.
So what is it? It's either they're going to try and reduce the population by making us have less kids, or we're all going to start meditating and everyone's going
to
chill.
We're all going to go to the metaverse.
So think about this. If the observation thing and the meditations thing is real, that means prayer is real.
Mm-hmm. Prayer is for sure real.
And that means the more people who believe in this and pray towards it and focus on it, the more real it becomes.
Prayer seems to have a function. It's like dropping a pebble in a lake. If you pray once and you think healthy, you pray that, and then the pebble drops, then you have no thought and the ripples will go out and things will become healthy. But if you keep thinking healthy, 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 it's like dropping a lot of pebbles and increase interference and you don't get the effect that you intend.
Didn't they do a study that found that people who are prayed for often recovered better or something like that?
Yep.
Yeah. I was reading some scientific study a while ago. I could be wrong though, but it sounds like you read it.
I don't have the details on me right now, but you know, just stories like that. And studies like that, and then just seeing the power of it in my life, seeing the power of it in my career, politics, you know, I undoubtedly, right, and with unreservedly believe in the power of prayer. And I've been teaching it to my children as just part, we make it part of our daily life. You know, we do it before we eat, we do it before we go to bed. We sit, we pray the rosary, right? That's what we do, right? And it's not something where I'm like, you know, screaming at them, you know, you got that word wrong or something. Like you make it part of life.
Yeah. And it works in the opposite direction too for doom. You know, like in the town that I've been writing about for the next book, although it's very religious, there's a lot of people they're deeply connected right to the Civil War, and the doom has never left this town. And like,
yes.
It's just one thing after another. It's almost like they're manifesting it. I don't think they are, but it's, you know, they're praying, and there's people there who are deeply religious, but the younger generation right now is so filled with doom. I mean, they're completely hopeless. And like, it's like the town is inescapable. It seems like a metaphor for the country at large, perhaps for that age group.
You know,
it's scary.
If you search on the internet, you can find sources telling you anything you want to hear.
That's pretty true.
That's the real challenge.
Absolutely.
I found studies saying it does help, and I found studies saying it doesn't help.
Have you guys heard of Dr. Masaru Emoto? He did a study of human consciousness on water. He'd focus prayer on water and then measure the molecular structure of the water, and you'd see different patterns depending on the energy he was putting into it. And they'd be like, no, scientific method, prove it. Do it a million times and then show that there's – but he'd get different responses when he would do it. Right. So it was impossible to prove with the scientific method.
Well, I think it disproves it.
It disproves it as per the scientific method. But that's not the only form of science. It's just one of the best ones we have right now.
If he can't recreate the molecular structure through thought, then he's not doing anything.
According to scientific method, he's not. He's but just because – but it does seem to be happening. He just can't explain it necessarily.
It doesn't seem to be happening. Yeah. If you so this is a guy, he like took water and then he like prayed on it, and he would focus on a word like anger or pain, and then he would take a look at the molecular structures and find patterns emerging, but he couldn't recreate any of the patterns, so it's just random noise. For all we know, it's just the water hit other water and then shuffled into a pattern. Then he prayed and went, I must have done that. It's like, well, you couldn't recreate it, so you clearly didn't.
Yeah, it's not recreatable. That's the thing about the scientific method, though, is it's like recreate it or get out. And sometimes things aren't recreatable. They just happen. You know, they call them miracles sometimes in the religious sense. But I think the scientific method, we created it. It's a newer form of science, but it doesn't mean it's going to be the final form of science. I think eventually we'll figure out there's more to what's going on than the hard matter that we perceive.
Donald Trump was memed into the presidency. Have you guys seen that that internet history about meme magic and all the weird stuff that happened? You know about it, right?
Have I seen it?
Did you make it?
Do not speak to me of the deep magic.
I was there when
I was there when it was written.
Yo, the Donald Trump keck conspiracy stuff. It's crazy.
Look, they summoned an Egyptian chaos god, right?
To summon Donald Trump.
Right? Which, no, because people were, and, you know, because there was a certain avatar meme that was very popular in 2015 and 2016 of a frog.
Alt-right demon.
You know, of course, right? Which, again, it had nothing to do with that sort of thing. It was just sort of like, It was the idea that, and frogs have generally been associated with like chaos, right? For, you know, throughout history. And, They're a chaotic creature. Ever try to catch one? And so people were looking this up, and apparently the Egyptian god of chaos was actually a frog.
Named Kek. This is how crazy it is, right? In World of Warcraft, when you were playing the opposing faction, if you were playing the Alliance, you saw the Horde, if they typed LOL, the translator would turn it into K-E-K. So a meme emerged among young people where they would say Kek instead of LOL for laugh out loud.
Right.
Kek is the Egyptian god of chaos, a frog, Pepe. Then there was that that album. What was that album with the
Chatelet?
Chatelet with and it was a frog. Like
it was
all
Italian,
the, right? Yeah. And all these weird things started coming together, and then there's just a whole bunch of like 4chan posts where it was like someone said something like, "If I get trips, so when you post, you get a code, a string of numbers, and they're like, if you get three in a row at the end, something happens, and it was like all sevens or whatever. It was like Donald Trump becomes president, and the whole post was all sevens. It's like. Probably one of the funnest and funniest, I wouldn't call it a conspiracy theory, but like trippy internet video to watch that you want to believe is true. All this crazy, Ian's freaking out.
You're making me think of pattern recognition patterns, because I don't think that we're as free and wild and chaotic as we seem as humans or as reality exists. Like it does seem like we're cycling towards a pat, like involved in some sort of mega structure that we don't necessarily, or that I don't understand right now.
Well, there's even the Egyptian hieroglyphic for Kek, if I remember correctly. It looks like a guy at a computer.
No, that was fake. That was fake.
That was fake?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, yes. No.
Oh, so fake? They were real hieroglyphics,
yeah,
but they didn't say Kek. And then so people put it together because it was funny.
Oh, no that, way. That sucks.
Yeah, that's the reality of a lot of the stuff you
that
think is
meme magic.
That was my
favorite one.
I don't think the Egyptian...
Because it was like a guy at a computer, and then there was like a symbol in between, and then there was the guy, right? And they said that the symbol in between was meme magic happening.
Well, this is why they had to get rid of the social media platforms, because, and I'm saying this as a joke, because people were using them to effectively pray en masse to Kek, Egyptian god of chaos, and it was working. So the powers that be, the big tech Silicon Valley people, banned them to stop the praying to Kek.
It's true.
I'm obviously kidding, but
yeah. Do you so think the result?
So is this why Elon hasn't tweeted in over a week?
This is the actual Kek thing. There is a person sitting there.
That's pretty close. That's pretty close to what the other one was.
Right. But the other one had
it would look like a circle. It looked more like a terminal. Yeah, it looked like a terminal.
I don't think anyone saw it coming. I mean, I might even roll the dice here and say that no one on Earth saw this connection before it happened.
Saw what?
The LOL would spell Kek, which was a frog that they used to laugh with Pepe.
So it sort of just came together this way, and it's very crazy. Like in World of Warcraft, Kek meant laugh out loud. So people started saying Kek instead of laugh out loud. The Pepe meme emerges. Then people start discovering that Kek is a real thing. There's Kekistan. You know, the
Kekistan. Oh, I know. Well, I was a Minds moderator at the time.
So you're like, well, here's
a home of the Kekistan, essentially, for about a year.
The oppressed Kekistani people.
Tim, do you think that we are in like a vibrational superstructure, like a simulation's a vague way of saying, but do you think we're in like a pattern?
In a pattern? The universe is, of course, a pattern. Everything functions, like math proves the universe is a pattern. It's just a massive one we can't comprehend the entirety of, at least as far as we can tell. But if there was no pattern, we'd be chaos. There'd be no order. There'd be no structure. There'd be no human body. There'd be no stars. So, of course, there's pattern.
And if you pay attention, you start to see the pattern. But a lot of people aren't paying attention.
I noticed with internet video.
It's like, have you talked – whenever we talk to people who do DMT, they're like the machine elves tell you that – I think Michael Mouse was saying this, that reality is like a song.
Yeah.
It goes in loops with like here's the chorus, and then here's the body, and then it loops. And it's just like – music being played.
Cernovich has been doing a lot of interviews lately about ayahuasca, which is sort of like the plant-based version of DMT. And he was on with Alex Clark on Spillover talking about this, and he did an interview with Charlie Kirk about it. And one thing that he said and that I thought was interesting was that he said, people say, are you hallucinating? He said, no, it felt like the hallucination was falling away. Like that wow. place felt more real, like this is yep. where it all started.
I've heard that a lot.
And you realize that the world that we perceive as the real world is like, that's the one that is the hallucination.
You want to hear something funny to everybody listening? I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. I know what the afterlife is. You guys ready for this?
Let's go.
Every single person watching the show, one day your time will come And then as you pass, you will see a bright light in front of you that you'll rush through. And then all of a sudden, you'll sit up from your couch, and you're Ian, and you're like, whoa.
Oh, good.
That'll be good for you. In a
minute. Yeah. Ayahuasca is very interesting. It's a combination of a vine and a root bark, the mimosa root bark, and they boil them together, and they boil them again. And then you drink it, and it your body starts producing DMT endogenously, meaning from the inside, you make your own DMT. Mm. And then there's your body can inhibit the DMT, so you don't always, you're not always tripping, but it has an inhibitor for the inhibitor consume it.
What happens is the plant has dimethyltryptamine. Was it dimethyltryptamine?
That's DMT.
DMT in it, but your body will destroy it and it won't be absorbed. When they mix it, they're adding an MAOI inhibitor, which bonds to it and allows it to enter your body, and then...
So it's in the plant, and your body starts producing it in excess, maybe. Now, I've only sipped on ayahuasca, and it was delicious. It tasted like grass. Like, if you ever chew on grass, it's very bitter. Mm-hmm. It was really concentrated, dark brown grass juice. Mm-hmm. And I sipped on it and immediately felt the DMT... clarity. Like when I go into when I make an internet YouTube videos or internet videos and I start channeling my thoughts and I don't even remember what I said, but that's why I started recording them in the first place, because I was like, I remember it was cool what I said. I just don't remember what it was.
How long does the high last when you're drinking it?
It was like I took a sip and then it was like within 30 seconds, I felt that rush of clarity. Mm. And then after about a minute, it started to dip out. But I had just taken a tiny sip.
Wow.
Just to clarify, I know the surface level stuff about ayahuasca, but just to pull it up, ayahuasca is notorious for its psychedelic properties produced from the combination of MAOIs found in Benisteriopsis, copy vine, and N,N-dimethyltryptamine from Psychotria viridis or Diplopteris carbrerana. Basically, it is, MAOI inhibitor is a, What's the word?
Well, the I means inhibitor, I believe.
Exactly. So there's a word for when you say ATM machine.
Yeah.
It's like, repetitive.
Yeah, there's a word for that.
It's called the monoamine oxidase inhibitor.
So MAO inhibitors.
Yes.
MAO inhibitors, yeah.
That at the same time as DMT allows your body to absorb it. That's what people do. I'm really fascinated by this. DMT is such a fascinating subject, and especially with all the weird meme magic and stuff. I don't understand how an adult human can't look at the scientific research on DMT, look at the history of ayahuasca, and then look at the strange phenomenon around things like meme magic and deja vu and all of these strange things, and not just conclude there is something magical to the universe beyond our comprehension.
And the history to put out there, I mean, this is South American, this is the Amazonians, this is Peru. This is something that has gone back. I mean, there are stories that have come out of the Amazon talking about these types of what we would consider hallucinations or hallucinogens, and people essentially state that this was the shamanistic drink. Right, this is something that goes back thousands of years.
Did you guys see the? I think it was a panther chewing on the vine and then tripping his balls off. There's a video on YouTube.
Not really,
he's rolling around and looking at the sky. It's so awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, DMT is not just for humans.
Joe Rogan was talking about it a couple years ago. I was, whenever I talk to people about religion and stuff, I always talk about how there are things that seem to be beyond probability, that it seems so incredibly rare that it could happen, or that perhaps it's as close as you get to a miracle. But the meme magic stuff, you can explain away a whole lot of. How did, Pepe come to be the symbol? It was a meme. Where did Keck come from? Well, someone noticed there was an Egyptian deity, which was a frog named Keck, and they said, hey, it's really funny that we use the frog meme and we say Keck. So they make Keck the god. Some of that can be explained away. But a lot of that coincidence is just purely chaotic and magical in some sense. I don't mean magic like a genie blinking and manifesting it. I mean just like serendipitous. Like there is an ebb and flow to the universe, and things that you'd think are rare are less rare than they really are. Then you listen to these stories about the research on DMT, how people trip on DMT but then share an experience. And you're like, there's something else out there.
Was it what they shared the experience, or was it that, I think the study that I read was that they had the same experience separately?
No. People like, I'm not going to name people, but people you've known from the show, like we've talked to, have said they were with each other. So they take DMT and then pass out on the couch,
right,
and then we're in the same place talking with each other.
That's amazing.
Dang. Yeah, something
maybe,
I encountered.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all good.
Maybe it's they fill in the gaps afterwards. Like you've brain damaged yourself.
Right, memory works.
And then you're
backwards.
Like, right, and then maybe you go, oh man, it was like there was a giraffe there. And then remember I said you should do a backflip, and they go, you did say to do a backflip. Mm. We were there together, and it's like, or maybe you just did drugs, right?
Something I encountered a lot in the in Georgia, in this town, was a coincidence all the time. Every time I turn around, there was another coincidence. One small one would be like, you know, having a general in the, or a colonel in the Union whose name was Jefferson Davis. But another one would be like in this town in Washington, this writer who I found her book. She wrote like all like the straight reporting from like the early 1900s. Everything was about like this stump has been removed or this person has died, whatnot. But one was this woman was sick, and it was like 1890, and she traveled 40 miles north. And that night she woke from in a fever and had a dream and told her husband that town has burnt down. And she told him the direct path of the fire. And then the next day, this guy came up on the train and said, the town burnt down. And then the husband went down, and it was like the same path. And like, okay, that's weird, maybe, but like the fact that that lady had written so much straight reporting, like I'm like, that's crazy that she had that.
There are so many stories like that throughout human history.
I wonder
if a lot of it can be explained away, but every so often you're like, come on.
I wonder if it's like pattern recognition, like you see the vibe, subconsciously, you see the wind blowing through the trees, and then that, you know, deep in your soul that means that something is gonna happen tomorrow, like a guy's gonna say hello to you around 11 o'clock. If it's that, or if it's more like we're tapped into some external vibration that
we are, but we're detached from it right now. I think because we're not paying attention enough. And I think I was experiencing so many coincidences in this town because I was hyper aware of the town while I'm there and doing a ton of research. So every time, every day, there was some new weird coincidence, whether it was personal or in my research or whatever. But I think that's because I was like so observant of this one thing. And I think it happens on a broader scale for people.
I really like the magnetic universe theory. You guys study the electric universe theory at all? Thunderbolt's project is doing a lot of good work on it. And it basically indicates like gravity as we know it is actually a form of magnetism. Maybe it's like, I don't know what they call it. When a wheel starts to spin so fast that it looks like it's spinning backwards.
Right.
It was a resonant frequency. So you've got like this resonating frequency of magnetism that looks like gravity. But it works like it. The closer you get to Earth, the faster you get stuck to it. Just like a magnet. The closer a magnet gets to a magnet, the faster it gets stuck to it. And so I wonder if we're inside of like just this magnetic field vibrating, and so it's all obviously a pattern.
We're inside the black hole that CERN created in 2008.
Right. Yeah, we're still in there.
Yeah, sorry.
The Earth was destroyed. We all got sucked in. I'm just imagining it's you said 2008, you said, or 2016?
I thought it was 2008 when it started.
Oh, when they started it, yeah. But in 2016, they fired it up, and all of a sudden Trump won.
It might have been earlier. But yeah, right. They only fire every few years because it's so...
So is the original timeline still there somewhere?
Well... Oof. I'm just imagining they're like, you know, they're flicking all the switches and they're like getting ready to fire it up. And then all of a sudden they're like, are we ready? All right. 10, 9. And then all of a sudden like a gasket blows and like, wah, wah. They're like, what's going on? The power levels are going through the roof. What do? Shut it down. I can't. It's locked in. And then everyone in CERN's like, no. And then like a wave just ripples across the universe. And then all of a sudden like, Donald Trump is about to give his concession speech, and then the wave just hits everyone, and then all of a sudden he goes, I'm the president, and everyone's like, yeah, and they're all clapping and cheering. That's how it happened.
Feels that way.
Yep.
I think we're trapped in it.
Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton was in like a protective case, like sphere with her, you know, security team, and they're like, what just happened? And then they look at the TV and they're like, the timeline changed. And she's like, no, no. And you know what happened? The Russians planted a device in CERN overloading the power supply. To manipulate the timeline.
Putin.
That'd be a fun movie, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I like this.
The gas prices are high because of CERN, you're saying.
Right. Such weird.
That's what I always say whenever the simulation's going crazy. I'll tweet this. Sometimes they're like they got CERN cranked up again, don't they, boys?
Yeah.
Simulations run a little hot right now. You just turn it down and just a little bit.
It's not the only super collider in the world. They've been doing this for a while. Like, I think they wanted to do CERN here. In the beginning.
Well, we have Fermilab.
Yeah.
Yeah, smaller. My favorite bit is that we're in a simulation, but it's not like some grand intelligent being. It's just like some dude in college who's playing a video game. He's like playing, you know, Simulation Earth 27. And then he like puts his drink down to go to the bathroom and sets the controller down. And then when he comes back, his little brother's playing and he goes, Billy, what are you doing? Dude, give me the controller. Oh, now Donald Trump's president. Come on. I got to fix this.
I think for sure we cracked some sort of code in the simulation when we harnessed electricity because we're able to listen to the past now. We have a portal like this video. People are watching it now. From where we did this before, you're listening to it now, but you're listening to it from when it
was
before.
Have you gone back and watched those like early restoration videos that people have done from like the 1890s?
Did you see Mark Twain? Jackson's documentary about World War One?
No,
oh man, it's such one of the best war documentaries.
But it's the ones that get me though is it'll just be someone, and you can tell that it's the first camera, first video camera that anyone's ever seen, because people are walking past it in the street, and it's like, this is what 1890s Paris looked like.
Yeah.
And people are walking past the camera going, like, what the heck is that thing? Mm-hmm. Why is it here? Why are you filming us? And the people have gotten really in, there's one YouTuber that does it, and because they were silent, right? But he goes in and puts in like period specific sound effects, and is one of the most trippy things that you'll ever see because mm-hmm. you're looking at, and you know that everyone in this video is dead, mm-hmm. right? That's the one thing I always think. But it literally, to your point, Ian, it's we are looking into a mirror, an image into the past through electricity.
Yeah, it's a portal.
Portal.
I've noticed with internet video, I started in 06 and I started doing the manifestation thing where I would tell people this, something is real. And then if people would believe it, it would start to seem more real and things started to like coalesce. Like I would just say something's going to happen. I mean, there's thousands of videos up of me doing this stuff, or a thousand or something. And it was like, how am I so tapped into reality now? Like before I felt so helpless, like I was an observer on reality. And then I started doing internet video and I felt like I was controlling and creating reality.
No, but tie this back to what we were talking about earlier, right? You know, governments have had this power for a long time, right? The Gulf of Tonkin incident, right? You know, you go back to the 1960s. And you straight up people were told, right? We were attacked. America was attacked and we need to go to war because this happened. And you had people that fought, Syria, not just fought in the war, but also fought serious political battles based on and for them, they believed that truth so inherently. You could say the same thing for the USS Maine in the Spanish American War, which was even a little bit less government intervention, more, they consider it yellow journalism, of the time and Hearst and gets into all that stuff and how many wars have been started because of something like this? And so the question is, was this a power, right? Was this a persuasion power that was used by governments and in some cases by media because they've basically understood that if you just tell that big enough, right, you do for all intents and purposes make it real.
Dude, it's so crazy to think that all of history that we know of is just told to us.
If the news are fake, imagine history. Yep.
So someone super chatted us saying I should read about the delayed choice quantum eraser experiment, which is right. Even trippier than the double slit. Wow. I was reading through it a little bit. I would need to read it several times to actually start to understand it properly.
Because those Wikipedia articles where it's so long it doesn't, you can't even understand what it's about.
Well, you can. It's you've really got to break it down and understand what a lot of these things mean because they're foreign terms in a lot of senses, right? But they basically say this. Some have interpreted the result to mean that the delayed choice to observe or not observe the path of the idler photon changes the outcome of an event in the past. Note in particular that an interference pattern may only be pulled out for observation after the idlers have been detected. Basically, the simple version of this, as best as I can simplify it, the double slit experiment was we did this thing and we noticed that when we were trying to measure it, we got a particle pattern. When we didn't watch, we got a wave pattern. With this one, they said the choice to observe it after the fact altered the event in the past.
That's possible because if you think of a photon, it's a ball, it's a sphere. But what, and then you think of a light wave, it's a wave where it goes up and then down and up. And I think what's happening is we're looking at a sideways cut of a bunch of beads of photons, but we're only seeing the top line above it and then the bottom line below the next photon. So we're actually seeing like a two-dimensional view of the photon that's a string. It's like on, and if you wave one of the photons, it's waving the entire string, which would be the past.
String theory.
I don't know if that, I don't know much about string theory.
That's sort of it. But that's the general idea is that, or at least that's an idea, that when we see a particle where they're entangled,
particles
it's actually the same object we're seeing That's like, imagine it's in our dimension, then it goes into the fifth dimension, then it comes back into our dimension. Right. It's one sheet we see the ends of. They both vibrate because you're dangling it in the other dimension. It's being impacted.
So what you're saying is that on the there is another end of the sheet where the Berenstein Bears still exist.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
I think this one's been answered, actually. It was answered because someone pointed out there was a run of Berenstein Bear books or videos that used EIN because they were really low-quality mass-produced garbage. Hmm. And so there was no quality control. Some people actually got Berenstein Bears, but there was very few of them. Now that it's the future and we've digitized everything, the actual IP being Berenstein Bears confused those who got the garbage misprint versions. Dang. It really is a simple observation. Like, there was one, like the Shazam thing, where they're like, remember the movie where Sinbad was a genie?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you're just confusing the one where Shaquille O'Neal was the genie or whatever. Like, it's very obvious you're just making a mistake. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, Mandela Effect would be fun, but I'll let's have some fun with this. So you guys know what the Mandela Effect is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From that idea, people have created this community about dimensional jumping, where they believe that if the Mandela Effect is real, meaning that you can inadvertently be transported to another dimension, then you can control transporting yourself to another dimension. And so what they do is they say that you need sensory deprivation to isolate yourself from reality so that you can go in and then visualize the reality you want to jump to. And if the reality is close enough to yours, you can enter it. Speaking of which, okay, also look into that and then watch the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once, because that movie was
really
funny.
I heard that was good. They kind of do that in Fringe too, though, when they drug her up and put her in the tank. And she goes to the
other but that's
dimension.
Like, in Fringe, there's like two realities.
Yeah, there's not
these
like
people believe that there's an infinite number of realities, and that right. The idea is you can only jump to a reality close to yours. Because let's say you're, Jack Bezos. In your reality, a close reality would be you, but you didn't come to Timcast tonight. That's a close enough universe to yours because the divergence is only an hour away, that if you were to successfully dimensionally jump, you could jump to the reality where you didn't come.
See, I was even thinking of something more along the lines of like, you know, let's say one of your past relationships that was somebody you broke up with was the one that stuck, right? And so you did get married to, you know, the girl from high school you're still together. Or is that too far?
Too far, right?
Oh, okay.
So you wouldn't be able to jump to a universe even where you didn't come here today because that's a huge split. But there could be something very, very simple, like you didn't send that text message, or it's like as the universes diverge from probability, it's harder and harder to leap to the one where a change didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But there are people who genuinely, they'll say like, this is crazy stuff. They'll post in Reddit and they'll be like, I've done it. I jumped from a universe where my girlfriend was dead and now she's alive. And it's just like, come on, dude. No, you didn't. But they'll say things like, I was there and I was looking at the photo of her, remembering what it was like when she was around. And then I successfully did it and she walked in the room and I started crying and she didn't know why. And she's here now. And it's like, or you're crazy.
So do you ever listen to Coast to Coast AM? Art Bell, George Norrie, back in the day. Yeah. So Art Bell, from Pahrumph, Nevada. I'm sure there's people in the chat don't know what I'm talking about, that he used to do some nights where he would call in. And if you ever worked nights in like, the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, you definitely listen. He just dominated late night radio. And it was a lot of paranormal, mm-hmm. you know, chat. But he used to do, all right, we're doing the time traveler's hour. I want all time travelers to call, and they would call in. They would call in. I'm from, you know, 45 years in the future, 50 years in the future. And they would be describing
a great show
things,
to prank.
You know, the Stephen Hawking did this once. He held a party for time travelers, and then he sent the invitations out after the party.
Right. Yeah. So you guys know about John Titor, right?
Mm.
The old internet conspiracy theory where you know about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I think on We Are Change, Luke's website, everyone's byline is John Titor. But the idea is that this guy came back and he was like, I'm from the future. Here's what happened in my future. Here's what I'm doing here in the past. And if the future, if the universe is a whole bunch of probabilities and you're going down one path and multiple in the multiverse exists and every option you have creates a new universe.
Right.
Then it's entirely possible someone could come from the future and be like, in my future, you know, Trump Jr. gets elected president in 2024 and you're like, but he's not even running. And then you're like, well, my future was different because, you know, and then 2024 could come around and then Trump Jr. doesn't even run for office. And you're like, then how could that guy have been from the future? That makes no sense. Well, because in his version of the future, it was different.
Right.
So that's what John Teeter was saying, that by coming to the past, they've already changed the future in ways they couldn't even imagine. So if what they say happens doesn't happen, it's not their fault. Like, they're telling you the truth. It's like, that's very,
works out well.
Yeah, very convenient for you.
Very convenient, yeah.
It's possible that people in the future, their behavior is changing our behavior now, but that we wouldn't know that. I'm really fascinated with this the delayed choice quantum eraser, that you can affect the past because, well, for many reasons, but I don't think time isn't real. Time is like, we invented it to kind of describe getting somewhere on time, but ultimately things are just moving. Everything's moving, spinning around itself and moving. And like,
time exists.
I don't see why you can't alter.
Well, time exists because entropy exists.
Time is your perception of other things moving.
So I think one simple way to explain it, we exist in four dimensions. We can manipulate three. I think of time kind of like if you were falling down an endless pit, you can't go back up. It's a spatial dimension. We recognize it's a spatial dimension, up and down, but you have no control because gravity is pulling you straight downwards. You can move around left and right and you know, up, down, left and right, or I should say forward, backwards, left and right, but you can't go up. And that's what time is. We're effectively falling through time.
However, if you drilled a hole all the way through the earth, minus the core, just got the core out of there, and then you fell down the hole, you'd fall, and you'd accelerate, till you got to the center, and then you'd keep falling, but you'd start to slow down, you come out the other end, and then you'd fall back into the hole, all the way super
you'd
fast.
You'd melt.
Well, hold on.
Minus the heat.
Wouldn't that feel amazing, though?
Oh, yeah.
If you're, like, falling at terminal velocity, and then you pass the point, you become weightless to the center, it ejects you out the other side, and then you go up, become weightless for a second, then come straight back down and just slingshot it.
Wow. Maybe time works like that.
Yeah, someone tell
that's
Elon
true.
To build
that.
Yeah.
That time. So here's the thing about time travel.
So you're stuck
though.
Inside time.
Here's what you need to understand about time travel, though. The patterns in your brain that have developed over time make you you. If you were to go, if you were to like rewind time, your brain rewinds along with time. So you need to isolate yourself from time. Which means your time would have to keep going forward while all time went backwards. Mm-hmm. That's probably why, like this time travel doesn't make sense. Unless you went into a ship. So the issue with people don't realize with time travel, when a person gets in a ship and then presses the button and it transports back in time, while time is going the other direction or you're moving through a hole in space, you're moving forward through time while going the other direction. That makes no sense. It would be like saying falling while you're jumping. You know what I mean? Mm. That's probably why I think backwards time travel doesn't exist.
It doesn't seem to. But the video is like a form of backwards time travel, only that we're perceiving the past.
I think our experience of time is just different. Like when they talk about traveling near the speed of light around the lip of a black hole, like your time up there would, you know, seem to say the same, but down in Earth or wherever you came from, it would go along without you. So when you came back, you'd be the same age, but they would have rapidly aged. So you're experiencing times different. That's just like Stephen Hawking's theory of it.
Someone in the chat made a good point. What's actually happening is that as we move forward through time, the past is eaten by giant testicle-looking monsters.
Oh,
that
okay.
Just
called the Langoliers.
Called the Langoliers. Yeah. That's right.
Oh, that's
that
true.
Is the delayed choice the testicle delayed choice. Quantum yeah.
The Langoliers. I enjoyed that movie. That was fun.
That was a great movie.
Yeah. Gigantic, weird, walnut-looking things eat everything. They eat the past.
They eat the past, yeah.
If we can change the past, then we could change the thoughts of people before and fix now, or at least alter. Because they say that light.
I think that would be a horrible idea.
I think,
I was like, what if you could go back in time and then warn Trump and like, here's what you need to do? And I just thought about what would happen if you did. You appear just in the Oval Office, like in a.
No, you know, there's
like,
a.
Hold on, like, and there's like a black ring of smoke around you, and you stand up, and you're like, "Mr. President, I'm from the future. This is everything that happens, and what you need to do. You need to take these actions." He goes, "Excuse me, no, I'm not. Listen, I don't know you. I'm doing what I want." You're like, "No," and you get dragged out, and then he just does the same thing he was going to do.
No,
anyway.
you know the Ben and Barron theory, right?
What is it? Yeah, that Bannon is Barron?
That Bannon is Barron from the future sent back to warn Trump about what's going on, but he can't reveal it because, you know, that would challenge all of it, which also doesn't work because of Barron's height at this point.
Steve's pretty tall, isn't he?
Baron's like 6'9" now.
Yeah, but you know, when you get older, you start to...
Yeah. Well, the time travel, the dilation effect obviously scrunches you down.
Compresses your spine.
Because you're compressing your molecules.
You know,
right?
No.
The dilithium crystals.
Yeah.
Baron knew that he would be exposed as a time traveler.
Right.
So he underwent a radical procedure to alter his appearance. Because in the future, Baron is at with the scientists at CERN, and they're like, we've developed time travel. And then he looks in the mirror and he goes, oh, I'm Steve Bannon. Yeah. And so then they're like, we must conform you to how Bannon was supposed to look. And
right.
Then they send him back in time.
You know you can see the future because the light that hits your eye is moving faster than the object. Mm-hmm. So you see it coming before it gets there. Like when someone throws a baseball at you,
mm-hmm.
you see it coming. That's why people can anticipate where something's going to be. So in that moment when someone's about to speak, you sense it before they say it, which is why your feelings alter their behavior.
You actually see the past.
Good point.
You see slightly, what you see is a slight delay
you
from
what you determine the future right. by seeing the past.
So like when we, and it's easy to understand when you look at outer space and things are thousands of light years away,
right.
we're seeing it,
the light. It could be delayed, right.
Yeah,
the one that gets me though, Ian, to your point though about, you know, you can sense when someone's about to speak, the one that gets me and having, you know, so we've got, you know, I've got two little kids. I've got my wife. My wife's parents live with us. We've got, you know, big household, right? Big household, right? But when you walk into a place and you know that it's empty, right? And you know that no one's home, right? You can sense it.
Mm-hmm.
You can sense that I am in an empty house right now because there's something. And it's not just the noise. It's not just the, you know, there is a lack, right? There is a lack of spirit. There is a lack of sense. And you know that nobody's around.
And then I'm the one who's paranoid and walks room to room to make sure no one's hiding in there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I still do that, obviously.
Psilocybin really created like a differential between living and non-living. To me, like, I see these water bodies in action, and then I see solid walls, and I'm like, wow, we put this stuff here like a set piece. We are very different than the set piece, that's for sure. But it blends in when the psilocybin's not in my system. It starts to blend in, and I just see everything, you know?
So we gotta go to Super Chats, but I wanna make one point too, because we're talking about time as we're falling through the dimension of time we can't move. And I was just thinking, like, Ian, you mentioned, what if when time reaches the apex, it becomes weightless, and then once it reaches the other side, it gets pulled back into the direction, and everything rewinds rapidly. And then I was like, I was just thinking, or there's a brick wall, and the universe is just falling in.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, because there's no way to know. If we're all moving the same speed, we wouldn't know it's moving at all.
One day, we're all just existence. But let's read Super Chats. If you haven't already, would you kindly smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends, grill that like button, become a member at timcast.com. We only need about like 800 and some odd thousand more members so that we can beat the Daily Wire, which, all right,
woo.
If 800,000 of you were to sign up, we still wouldn't be beating the Daily Wire. So thanks for your support, though. And, you know, good. One day we will be a large company. We'll expand to that point, and we're really excited for what they're doing. But we could use your support as well. So, again, share the show with your friends. You can follow us at TimCastIRL on Instagram. Let's read what you got to say. All right, Vanessa McCarthy Ledesma says, or is that what it says? In reference to yesterday's IRL, if you made a $2 version, can you call it Tim Buck Twos?
I like that a lot.
A $2 version of what?
I don't know.
I think it was your money.
Oh, that one. You have it right in front of you there.
The Tim Rocks.
Oh, Tim Rocks. That's right. Tim Bucks.
Yeah.
Tim Buck Twos.
Oh, that's right. I mentioned making Tim Bucks.
Yeah.
That's right. Make Tim Bucks, yeah.
All right. Albidam says, happy MAGA month. Woo. 'Tis the time to kiss hands and shake babies.
That's
exactly right.
Don't shake
that is
babies.
Right.
Trip sucks.
I throw my babies up in the air constantly.
Got to teach them balance and all that.
Yeah.
They can catch themselves.
Yeah.
Trip sucks says, Ian is on fire this week. I'm Catholic, but Seamus makes it sound crazy. Jesus walking on water is not literal. He was showing us we could reach a higher plane, our full potential, be better, ascend. P.S. Catholic means universal. Oh, well, there you go.
I love making sense of past stories, that's for sure.
John Kirsten says, starting MAGA month with my birthday, full American flag outfit with We Are Change shirt, By the way, Poso, not liking cargo shorts is un-American. Still love you.
Oh, cargo shorts are not allowed.
When was the last time you wore cargo shorts?
Probably the 90s.
Yeah, dude.
So
yeah.
Great.
Oversized t-shirt, too?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah, I had the chain. Remember the chains?
Oh, no. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That you wore on top of the t-shirt, obviously.
Oh, bang it.
Yeah.
All right. Kyle says, Tim, get someone on to talk ESG and how it's destroying the economy and forcing corporations to go woke. Also, graphene is a cult. Let's get, you want to hit up James Lindsay? We should have him back on.
I mean, ESG in general though, it's, so why we say get woke, go broke, but that's actually not right. So,
It's more of a tease.
Right.
It's not a law.
And so, with the ESG system, and this is starting to fall apart, right? And that's why we're seeing the economy overheating and the fakeness of our economy is coming apart at the seams, is that, it's similar to the Cantillon effect, which is, this idea that this French economist came up with in basically the Middle Ages, right? And he realized that whenever a new gold mine was discovered somewhere in the kingdom, that it wasn't the people who lived around the gold mine or even the people who discovered the gold mine were the ones that benefited. The ones who benefited from the new gold or the influx of new gold into the system were the ones closest to the throne. And so, this is the same thing you see now, because with money printing from the Fed, which is essentially what it is, and Spike was talking about it the other day, that they've taken all the brakes off of this, and that is disintermediated now through the big money market managers. So your BlackRock, your Blackstone, Vanguard, State Street, those corporations, they get the money first, right? Essentially from the Fed and banks in general, they get it, and then the way they dole it out to other companies is not based on your shareholder value, which company's doing better. It's through this ESG system, who's being the wokest out there. And so you're getting your fresh injections of capital through this overheated funny money because you are meeting your woke quotient. So when Netflix puts out a movie like this, or when Disney, you know, puts LGBT scenes in Lightyear, kicks out Tim Allen, Tim Allen.
Yeah, Tim.
Then you're increasing your ESG score. That's why we're getting this.
All right, Raymond G. Maga Stanley Jr. Whoop. Says, Shane, at first I was skeptical about Inverted World, then listened to The Corpse That Danced in Hell's Kitchen. I loved it. Loved them all. Great stories.
Oh, thank you. We were just talking about the Irish mob before we were filming. That's the story with the Irish mob.
Yeah, yeah.
That story was
pretty amazing. The Irish mob used to – so you know that part of – not to get super into it, but that part of Philadelphia that everybody shows the videos of, that overpass, and then you see like the fentanyl zombies just kind of like shuffling around under – you haven't seen these videos.
Man.
So it's called Kensington, right? And just look up Kensington, go to image search, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. So they go viral every time they're posted. Well, that area in Philadelphia used to be called the Kensington and Allegheny intersection. So it's called K&A, right? That used to be, those streets used to be run by what was called the K&A gang, and that was the Irish mob. And you may not have liked the Irish mob's methods or the K&A gang's methods, and that's why they got broken up, the same way the Five Families got broken up, etc. But I tell you what, those streets were clean when the K&A mob, gang was around.
Yeah. So Tales from the Inverted World, the new episode just went up.
Oh, sweet.
So this, I think it did it, right?
Yeah, should be up by now.
So for those unfamiliar, you went down to Georgia looking for some gold to steal.
Yeah. Oh, no. Shout out to Clint Brantley, who's, I'm sure he's watching, and Harry and Tammy. I like live down there. I don't think I've ever written a
witches,
book that's changed me
aliens.
As much as this Whoa. Book has. But I saw a UFO. I don't know what that was. It was just a UFO, but I remember I messaged Tim at like
freaking
night.
Out.
I was freaking out. And you know, there's a good scene of that where you see me messaging Tim freaking out, probably episode 4 or so. But I go down there looking for the lost Confederate gold. This is a town where the Confederacy was dissolved by Jefferson Davis. He was on the run after the end of the war, after Richmond burnt down, and the gold had been lost. There's a lot of different theories about it, and I think I come to a conclusion. But I got derailed by major TV networks and, you know, people with
witches,
ghosts, skeletons.
Death threats.
There's death threats.
Someone threatened to kill you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's two, really.
Oh, okay. Two people threatened to kill you.
And the last 6 months I spent, you know, going back and forth in this town.
Does witchcraft always involve blood?
Well, there's blood magic. The good witches don't like the blood magic.
Yeah, I don't like blood.
Yeah, we observe people who do blood magic, and, you know, there were and this is interesting. I wonder what Jack would think about this. But there's Catholic witches, Christian witches.
Nope.
I asked them. I'm like, how do you balance, you know, that, because you're not supposed to worship another thing. Because, you know, I walk in.
First commandment, right there.
I meet two witches, and one's juggling shark teeth, and the other's praying to Anubis.
What?
And I'm about to walk into a hole, to a graveyard.
Well, I mean, you get Santeria is similar to this, yeah, where it's a mix of sort of like voodoo beliefs and, yeah, and Catholicism. Yeah. You do have mixtures, right? But it's not Catholicism.
And the Catholic witches were mad at the Christian witches.
Did they have Protestant witches?
I didn't meet them.
No, but I mean, like, but that's what I'm saying. Like, where did the Catholic, did the Christian Protestant witches break away from the Catholic witches? And there was Witchy and Luther, yeah, with the 99. Yeah.
That's awesome. But yeah, go watch New Tales from the Inverted World.
So is the show, you had a camera crew? Tell me you had a camera crew.
No,
man, I want to see this.
I wish, but no, it's me. I spent, because it would be like 9 hours of me talking to like the mayor or the witches running a hotel or all these people. But I would, you know, I spent a lot of time talking to all these people. And, you know, I feel changed. This is a book I've always wanted to write. Not about this exact topic. I didn't know that, but I love Civil War. I love the paranormal stuff, and this town delivered everything.
So the book is, the book's coming out in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Book's the same title?
Book will be Ghosts of the Civil War, and that's just volume 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like the last book we serialized, and it was just different essays. They were all standalone essays. Like the corpse in Hell's Kitchen was one thing, and then we did like a simulation story for another. But this one all takes place in this town. And, you know, I spend the night or a few nights with this one family on their land where they think maybe the gold could have been. We sneak into cemeteries looking for gold. And
we got, we were talking about.
Wait, did you find the gold?
I can't say that.
So. Oh.
No. You would know because the FBI would come in and steal it.
Yeah.
Because that was happening at the same time.
But you know what we want to do is we want to make a sort of like, horror thriller anthology. Sort of based off of these books, because it would be so legit. It's like The X-Files, basically.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Hunter S. Thompson meets The X-Files.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I felt. Yeah.
All right, so we'll read some more Super Chats, but when the book comes out, we'll definitely have Shane back on, and we'll be shilling it for sure and putting it everywhere and trying to get you to buy it. All right, let's see what we got here. Redneck Italian 1982 says, I wanted to share, I kicked off MAGA month right. Today is my 40th, and I'm at the Field of Dreams watching my two sons play America's Favorite Pastime while lighting things off and drinking beer.
Woo.
Thank you for all you do, Timcast. I am glad to hear it.
Good.
But MAGA month is not just about American flags and drinking beer and grilling. It's about doing right by your communities.
That's right.
Cleaning things up, inspiring young people. Yeah. Maybe you've got like a big brother, big sister kind of thing where you could find some at-risk youth who need some leadership. Maybe you got a dirty highway you could clean up. Maybe you just want to put on a grill for your neighbors and bring people together. All of that is good.
Friendship. Like
Jack. That's
right.
That's right.
Or even just, I used to call this, also, by the way, Tim, I forgot to mention that, you know, because you were so upset that I didn't have my my profile picture up earlier with the flag, you know, on time, right, on Tim's
on time.
Schedule.
That's right, right. That's right.
You know, that we've
immediately, first thing in the morning,
we've got,
on the first day of.
We've got the bandana, we've got it out, we're going hardcore, got the USA shirt. But, you know, this was something I was talking about during the pandemic, but I still want to do it. I call it local patriotism, right? Find those businesses that, you know, those small businesses that are independent, that are in your area, and just support them, right? Just go out there and say, you know what? I want this to continue, and I want this more than like another Panera Bread,
yeah,
right? And nothing against Panera Bread, but just this is someone in my community that's trying to make it work, and we're better if we support those things and do so obviously while wearing your American flag.
What do you think would happen if I opened a woke restaurant and then enforced policy based on woke ideals? Like if you're white, you have to go to the back of the line. Do you think that would be allowed?
I mean, well, technically that'd be illegal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. What if I created like a
so I would sue you very
a POC
fast.
And non-POC seating in my restaurant.
Yeah, also illegal.
That's so strange that the woke people do all of those things.
Right.
It's funny.
Right. It's they've brought segregation back, but it's good segregation now, so it's better.
Yeah.
All right, let's read some more. Kyle Bigelow says, you talk and talk about reforming governance as though you've never met Michael Malice. Well, I don't agree with Michael on everything. I think he's certainly smart, and he's changed my opinions on some things. And I'm not an anarchist. I think Michael is he's an anarchist for sure. He wrote the Anarchist Handbook,
mm-hmm.
And then I voiced who is the essay?
Proudhon.
Proudhon. There you go. Yeah, that's funny because he's like a leftist anarchist. So Michael thought it would be funny if he had me He was like, I'm going to get the best chapters to be read by like the people that it's funniest to like do or something like that. I mean, or it's just, it really is a great book of essays that you should check out. Michael's a very, very smart guy.
Oh, brilliant.
I don't agree with everything on him. All right. Let's see. Nathan Tankersley. Tim Pool for 2024 president.
Now we're talking.
No.
Could you imagine, dude?
So I will say this. I was ragging on, was it Shelley Moore Capito?
Yes.
The Republican senator from West Virginia who signed the gun control stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's just a nasty, awful person. And I will not forget what she did. But I had someone be like, why don't you run against her? And then I was like, that will literally never happen. And they're like, you know you'll win, right? And I'm like, I will never go anywhere near seat of government.
Yeah,
government.
We got a new way
then
to
you'd have to be
government.
A senator for 6 years.
Ugh. I mean, theoretically, I could run, win, and then resign. Just like...
Well, then the governor appoints.
Right.
So you don't have anything. You have any say if you resign.
That would just be terrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you could make a deal. Right. You could make a deal with the governor at that point.
I don't know
point.
If you're allowed to actually do that. Isn't that what...
Well, as long as it's not... No, as long as it's not money.
Yeah, Blagojevich.
No. Not a monetary deal. I'm saying that, you need to support this.
To be fair, if you're senator, you could do nothing.
Then you
I mean,
whatever
many
you
of them do nothing. You know
no,
I mean?
That's just all the senators.
Right.
As opposed to what?
Just don't do anything?
Yeah, which lobbyist donated the most to the campaign? All right, yeah,
actually,
go with that.
That's a good point. Because if your campaign was, I will literally do nothing, that's better than what we got now.
Do you think that they don't listen to each other? Is that the problem, that they're all trying to talk?
They don't listen to the people. Mm-hmm. So the reason Shelley Moore Capito signed the gun control bill is because she's not up for re-election for what, 5 years? Four years, I think. So she doesn't care. Her consultants probably said, listen, in 4 years, everyone's going to forget this happened. No one's going to remember it. Then you can come out and throw some red meat at Republicans and they'll vote for you again. Mm-hmm. And she was like, they are dumb pieces of crap, aren't they? Gun control. What a piece of garbage. I can't stand these people.
I would imagine.
That's exactly what she did too. I'm
that
imagining.
Noise, and yeah, I think you're right.
She talks like this.
I think it would be, to be in Congress would be really boring because you'd have to listen to everyone gets their time to talk. But when they talk, they decide to read something and then they're like not really charismatic. So you're like, oh, I got to do this.
So
all
do you
day.
Wonder why then it is that a certain type is attracted to that as opposed to somebody who may actually have more talent or more interest in the actual, running the policies of running our country, right? So there is a certain type that totally understands, right, how much, what the job entails and craves it more than
that's
anything
right.
else. That's who's in our Senate. Ugh. That's who's in our House.
All right, let's read some more. Jonathan Arnold says, Tim is correct on the double slit experiment. I'm a professor of physics. Yes, my opinion on the double slit experiment actually comes from more than one physics professor. Because I remember watching the movie What the Bleep Do We Know?
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
And it's a bunch of new age, mumbo jumbo where the guy's like, the double slit experiment!
Dr. Quantum, yeah.
Dr. Quantum. And then I was like, whoa. And then I went to actually some universities. I was hanging out and I was like in LA. And this physics guy was like, let me explain for you why this is mumbo jumbo. And I went, oh, that makes sense. Like, I get it.
But I like the observer interfering with the process. That's an interesting concept.
Well, right. The point is it's the process by which we observe causes the interference. It's not profound. It's like slapping the table with a ruler and the ant runs the other direction.
I notice that when people are talking, if I don't look, and it's a different conversation. As soon as I look at one of the people, the conversation gets like jarred and yanked into some new form.
That's just because of how you look.
Well, that's true too.
Track Media Only says if prayer worked, then Donald Trump would be president. I disagree. The first time he won, you had the power of meme magic. People were going online and they were all laughing and joking. And there's a simple answer to the meme magic stuff. Tons of people were having a laugh. It was a party. It was a joke. It's like you could join the fun. Just post a Trump meme. That's effective messaging. They didn't have it second time around. So, or the more magical is that everybody was so hyper-focused, they manifested President Trump. All right. John Shaw says, I'm 21 years old. We are not doomed, at least not myself and my peers. We're very stoic and optimistic. We desire and commit to authenticity. I believe there is so much to look forward to. Just look at DW and Timcast, more to come. That's right. The Daily Wire gained 300,000 subscribers in like 3 months. Yo, that's nuts.
That's nuts.
That's crazy. Glad to hear it. Good. Sign
happen.
Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson's going ham right now on Twitter. He's like, I'd rather die than delete my tweets. I watched that video he posted where he addressed it. It's like a 14-minute talk.
Yeah.
He was going hard.
He's an amazing.
He got angry.
Really?
He was like, oh! And I was just like, yes.
Good for him. Good for him.
Preach, Dr. Peterson.
Good things change and grow like laterally now. Maybe they always did somewhat, but I used to think things would grow vertically, like a company would get bigger and bigger and bigger. But now things get bigger, but they also get wider faster because the internet virality.
Let's go.
All right. It is now says, love you, Tim, but you were so wrong in the double slit. Uh-oh, someone just said I was right. Look up the delayed choice double slit. It has such immense implications about our reality. It's mind-blowing. Look into Tom Campbell's book, My Big Toe. Well, all right, I'll check it out. I love that stuff, man. I when I was younger, I would, back before YouTube, well, YouTube was around, but there was Google Video.
Oh, yeah.
I would go on Google Video and look up physics and just watch physics professors talk about the craziest stuff. And that's what I would watch before going to bed. That was back in the day, man. It was fun. Me
too. I'd watch and then I'd make like, a YouTube video high. That was what I would
do. Some of it was just like awkwardly boring, but then like, it's you'd think it would be boring where it's like a guy and be like, well, when you have to understand with the edge of the event horizon and I'm watching and I'm like, what? And then within minutes I'm like, whoa.
I think that person said the delayed choice, double slit. What they meant was the delayed choice quantum eraser, because I can't find delayed choice double slit.
All right. Kaslin Bukart says, Jack, I'm pro-life, but I'm concerned over the overwhelming amount of misinformation around Roe, especially with ectopic pregnancies and miscarriages. How do we as pro-lifers help influence the change of culture around abortion?
I mean, it's gonna, you have to do the work, right? You just have to do the work, right? Obviously, there is a sea of misinformation on this topic in general. People talk about it in emotional terms, but, you know, I think what, even the comment just before when they were talking about authenticity, it's just break some of this down, right? With some of these pregnancies, you know, the number one reason that people get abortions is elective right now. Number one, by far, right? And so do not allow something that is 1% or 2% or less than 1% of outcomes to dictate our policies.
Justin Allen says, my first super chat ever. Canceled Hulu, Disney, ESPN, HBO, and subscribed to Timcast and Daily Wire.
Based.
The episode with Stephen Marsh was one of my favorites. It says, I always share your videos. Keep up the good work. Really, really do appreciate it. Yeah. So one of the challenges we have right now is like, obviously our flagship program for Timcast is literally Timcast IRL. The members only videos are somewhat topical and relevant to the time period in which they are talked about because it's politics. Many of them aren't. What we want to do, and one thing I've been thinking about, and, I'm going to be talking to Shane about, because we have talked about doing the conspiracy talk show. Mm-hmm. So we have Pop Culture Crisis, which is pop culture. It's similar format to this. What I want is we could probably do this. We need to talk about it, but a similar talk format show. You've got your deep investigations where you like go down to Georgia. Yep. We're planning the next book already. Yep. But how could we do a show that's evergreen talking about mysteries, conspiracies, aliens, ghosts, yep, psyops, governments, and all this stuff? Something that people could watch forever.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's what I want to do. Cause I know you were working on it before.
Yeah.
It's just balancing all these things make it difficult.
Yeah. That'd be great. We had a good, I mean, Ian was on the members only for Inverted World. We got into some of that stuff, and Chris Carr, our great editor who's been hustling on me sending this book to him. We went pretty hard on conspiracy theories and like,
yeah. I mean, maybe
we should totally do that.
Maybe this is just what we need to figure out. We need to figure out maybe if it's once or twice a week, yeah, you doing like an hour talk show with, yeah, a couple people similar to this.
Yep.
So we have Inverted World, the front facing show, which is the book and the podcast, which is your investigations.
Yep.
And then the members only stuff, like the streaming video on demand show, is the conversations around, yeah, all the crazy stuff.
There's enough out there to talk about.
Yeah.
They keep coming true. So
let's do it. That'll be fun. All right. M. Shiba says, in the anime Symphogear, they have the concept that those stories and myths being told throughout the centuries, whether they were true or not, could will them into being reality. Oh, that's fun. I just finished watching Attack on Titan Season 4. That's a fun show as well. Gotta love it. Attack on Titan's legit. If you're interested in the culture war, have you seen it? I've talked about this before. It's a weird show. Like gigantic naked monster people eating other people.
Yeah. Didn't they do a live action one?
That's stupid. Yeah, it was really dumb though.
Yeah, okay.
But the anime, it's actually really simple. There was a meme where like an AI Jordan Peterson said to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're interested in the culture war, one of the big themes about it is the sins of the past. A group of people who are condemned because they were oppressors. And so everyone's like, you're the evil oppressor and you have to atone for your ancestors. And that's like a big theme of the show.
Oh wow.
So it's like,
Right.
Very culture war-esque.
There you go.
You know, yeah. Except people are flying around with like shooting cables and then slicing monsters and turning into them and stuff.
I was doing that earlier on.
That's right.
Here.
That's right.
That's how you got here.
Yeah,
that's how we got here.
That's how I got here today. Yeah.
Yeah, the ODM gear. Jack used it and he swings through the trees to make it here. All right. Lone Wolf 36S says, something to chew on. If we are inside the wake of a black hole, it would appear to us the universe is expanding. But really, it's just that light takes longer and longer to reach us until there's no more light from outside. Whoa. That proves it.
Is he a doctor of physics?
that is evidential. I like the idea that we're in a black hole. I think it might be twisting, too. It looks like expanding because it's bending.
Mm. It's bending. Wow. All right, let's grab some more stuff here. The Wombolt says, as a Shane myself, who loves the oddities of cults and witches, would give my left hand to work with Shane. Two Shanes? No. Oh, we can only have one.
Too many Shanes.
We are.
We would use the hand to create another Shane, and then
in a vat.
In a vat, right?
We do need.
Wouldn't you need Shane's?
We're trying to find a writer to do the smaller stories.
Yeah.
So when Shane's doing the deeper investigations, there's day-to-day stuff like a UFO report comes out.
Right.
We need a basic...
The congressional hearing they just had.
Exactly. You
know? Like that would have been a great one.
I don't buy any of that.
No but like getting a reporter to
not,
be like...
Not the government stuff that they're pushing.
Getting a mysteries reporter to talk about these stories.
Nice. Just straight objectively.
Yeah. You know, they're shorter, they're not, you know, in-depth. And then that person could theoretically do the conspiracy talk show with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
I had another idea for a show, too, was Collins, Ghost Story Collins shows.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
They exist. There's a bunch of them.
Like Coast to Coast.
Like Coast to Coast.
Yeah, that'd be great. Those are fun. Those are fun.
Super fun. So these are the things we want to figure out. It'd be really cool. I love when people call in and tell their experiences.
Yeah.
Because there's so many stories out there that are amazing. I did a road trip across the country once, and all we listened to the entire way was call in ghost stories.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are like, come on. Some of them are really cool, though. And it's literally just someone being like, so I'm in my house, and, you know, a guy hung himself here. When all of a sudden the door slams, and I'm just like, oh, what next?
Yeah.
And it's like nonsense, like droll. Like, it's meaningless. None of it matters, but just want to know what happens.
But it's relatable, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like Jerry Spence, you know, the defense lawyer Jerry Spence guy, never lost a case. He wrote books about this. You know, he had a whole thing where he said, you know, if you're going to try a case about, you know, it's you have to put the person in the car, right? If you're trying a case about a car crash, don't just tell the jury, hey, there was a car crash and it happened on Tuesday and this and the road was slick and the no. Put them in the car. Give them the story and make it relatable, and that is something that's going to be compelling and pull somebody in. The fact that, and this is why Paranormal Activity was such a popular movie, because it's just what happens in your house when you're asleep, right? Mm-hmm.
I want to say, so Puppets in Politics is, how can one apply for Mystery Reporter? Send an email to jobs@timcast.com. Send writing samples along with it and any relevant information. I don't personally care too much about resumes. I don't know what you think, Shane.
Resume is useless. The writing is what matters.
Right.
Yeah.
Send in some writing samples and then have a conversation. And the reality is, the unfortunate thing is, a lot of people don't want jobs right now. But of the jobs people want, they really want to work places like here in the Daily Wire, because, you know, we're culture warriors. We're, you know, trying to do cool things. We're trying to challenge the machine. So it's almost like a lottery ticket. We get 10,000 plus emails every month or something more, and it's just not possible to read every single one. But we'll start looking into it.
Yeah.
And we'll have Shane.
Yeah, writing samples would be great. Send those. And I never look at resume stuff.
And that's the one thing we really got to launch too, because at first we wanted Tales from the Inverted World to be more interactive with the audience.
Yeah.
But we ultimately discovered we got to focus on the heavy hitting stuff, like you writing a book and then getting the stories out.
Yep.
But I think the VOD version will be the long form show, hour long conversation.
Oh yeah.
We definitely got to do that. Yeah. I mean, even if we did it once a week,
yep.
Definitely something we could get people to sign up, become members for.
Yep.
And then, you know what the Daily Wire is doing with their movies? Terror on the Prairie. It's kind of obvious, right? What was the other movie they did with the
Run, Hide, Fight?
Run, Hide, Fight. But there was the one with the woman in the room locked
up. Locked up. I don't remember.
Yeah, locked up.
Yeah.
One of the things they're doing is they're buying movies that they can afford to buy, and they're producing movies that are rather simple but good stories. So Terror on the Prairie, it's costume, it's drama, but it's like in an open field, so it's relatively low budget to produce. But they make a good, compelling story, a movie worth watching. Because you gotta work with what you have. We're doing the same thing. I'm hoping that in 5 years, the Daily Wire is bigger than Disney. I'm hoping that we are as big as the Daily Wire, or actually bigger than they are at the same time, and that there's going to be more companies like ours who aren't going to be producing garbage woke crap. Yep. I will say, what you do want is preachy ideological content. However, you don't want woke preachy ideological content. You want things that represent your values. Mm. An example is Matt Walsh made a book called Johnny the Walrus. It's preachy. Mm. It's got a message, but it's a message you like. So I think that when people say, like, I don't want politics in my TV show, and I'm like, no, that's not the case. You want good values in your TV shows, and you want the substance of the story. I don't like it when, like, Orville makes an episode that's so on the nose. It's like, we get it. The lady's Trump. Seriously? Come on. Add a little nuance and a little metaphor to that. So you want it to not be nothing but preach, but you want your values represented in it. So that's what I'm hoping to do, and become a member at timcast.com. Let's grab one more. Jem R says, did you see that Uganda found $12 trillion worth of gold deposits? Mm-hmm. What's the odds the West will suddenly be very concerned about human rights in Uganda? Ha ha.
You heard it here first, folks.
All right, everybody. If you haven't already, smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. It is MAGA month. So follow us over at Timcast IRL on Instagram or wherever else. Follow me at Timcast. Become a member at Timcast.com. Celebrate MAGA weekend, which is this weekend right now. We've got the 4th, so we got Friday now. We got Saturday. We got Sunday and Monday. We are going to be fireworks, hot dogs. We're going to be doing all that good stuff. I hope you guys have a good weekend. Jack, you want to shout anything out?
Yeah. Look, you guys know where to follow me, Human Events Daily. We are hiring. Turning Point USA is hiring. You can check that on the site. Also, and not for myself to push out, but my wife is the special guest on the podcast, The Spillover, this weekend. She's telling her story for the first time ever, escaping communism, growing up in the Soviet Union, coming to America. So you can find that on podcast awesome. Spillover. And then we've also got Turning Point USA SAS coming up end of July. Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, same stage, right? Maybe not the same time, but down in Tampa, Florida, tpusa.com/SAS. Use promo code POSO, all caps, 25% off.
Awesome. I am really proud of this book, and I hope you guys go check it out. The first episode is up now on YouTube, Apple, Spotify. If you want to see witches pull demons out of the thin air and skeletons standing in the upright in the ground waiting to shoot the devil dead, and just hear really interesting stories about the war, I've completely changed the way I view a lot of the things that happened in the war and history in general. So please check that out. Tales from the Inverted World everywhere, and I'm Shane Cashman everywhere online.
Well, Ian Crossland, you guys know where to find me. I like how you said that. You know where to find me, iancrossland.net. Much love, Jack. Always great to see you, man. I'm glad you came in. You, motherfucker. I'm going to keep it family friendly because I'm about to swear up and down. I love you guys. I love you. Thank you so much for coming. I'll see you later.
Thank you guys all for tuning in for this wild and crazy Friday night. I'm really looking forward to the 4th of July. I hope you guys are too. I hope you guys get out and grill and have fun with your families. You guys can find me on Twitter and Minds.com at Sarah Patches, as well as SarahPatchLids.me.
MAGA Month!
MAGA Month!
We will see you all Tuesday because this is the opening weekend of MAGA Month with the 4th of July. Hot dogs, burgers, grilling, American flags. Then we'll be back on Tuesday. We'll see you then. Thanks for hanging out.
Bye, guys.